niggas want to send me world star hip hop mess, but they're not sending me anything saying I'm a paralegal. I'd like to speak with you. I'm a paralegal, TBA. What do you need? I'm a lawyer, TBA. What are we going to do? Nobody has said that. And you expect white women to be impressed by your posting up your pictures of big booty white girls? All you're telling them is that you're there in the driver's seat and you're begging for it. All of you immature ass, prepubescent, adolescent, high school musical Negroes out there are sickening. And now they have made a full court press to humiliate you. Every manner imaginable across the board, they are humiliating you. And you should be ashamed of this. You should be ashamed. I'm going to take a brief 30-second break here so I can calm down. And then we will come back with your telephone calls. This is the BlackChannel.net radio. Bad form, brothers. Bad form. Very bad. I will not have anything to do with a woman who questions my place as leader. And if I encounter a woman who says that she wants to be my woman and yet does not respect and acknowledge my place as the leader, not part-time, but leader, because leadership is not a part-time position. If she does not respect that, then I will immediately discard her. And you know why you do that? You do that in order to make an example of her to the others that this is not up for discussion, that you will respect our place as leader or we will immediately cut you off. Immediately. But you know what the problem is with that, what I just said? I just said that we'll immediately cut you off. The problem is most black men ain't got nothing to cut a woman off from. Most black men don't actually have a damn thing to cut women, their women off from. I'm sorry, Marlene Pinnock is her name. She was the woman who was beaten down in the middle of the freeway by the white California Highway Patrol officer, and her attorney is a black female. Where are the black men who want to sit up here and brag and talk about what they're due? Where are they in the system levels of power in government? Where are they in the community? Oh, yeah, your community organizers are saying power to white supremacy. They're running interference for white supremacy. Oh, I forgot about that. Most black men ain't got nothing to leverage or bargain with, and that is a damn shame. That is a shame. You, how are you going to compel your women to listen, and you don't even have anything to offer? If you had something to offer, you would have something to withhold. And when you have something to withhold, you have something to reward with. And the average black male is trying to figure out, How can I lead and yet simultaneously produce nothing, bring nothing, provide nothing that fit with nothing? We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines here now. The telephone lines are open, of course. The number is 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your access code to the Blackest Radio program in existence. The only one of its kind on planet Earth today. Join us. Caller from 209, you're on live with the Black Channel. I'm sorry, caller from 269, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, hi.
Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Kendra.
Okay, Kenya, let me get you to get a little bit closer to your phone there.
Oh, sorry.
And where are you calling from, Kenya?
I'm calling from Michigan.
And what's on your mind?
Oh, well, I had a quick question. I know a lot of times I've been hearing your archives of your past broadcasts, and I was just wondering, like, I don't know if you already answered this or not, but I always see, like, the results of channel, and then you have the 7 a.m. documentary and stuff, and I was just wondering, like, how did you start doing this? Because I know you said you started, like, 5 years ago. It took you a little while to get there. So what was your plan of path? Kind of, I guess.
Okay, I'm not quite understanding what you're asking.
Well, like, how did you get where you are today? Like, how did you start? Because, it seems like you have a lot of knowledge about a lot of things, and I'm not sure, like, how to, like, to where you are today. That's what I'm trying to ask, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. First of all, where knowledge is concerned, knowledge is not a specific thing. Knowledge is a general thing. When people ask me what books do I read or what do I read during a day, my answer to them is anything and everything. I read everything I can in a day. I check on everything I can. I spend most of my time doing that kind of thing when I'm not putting on the documentary right now. It's kind of slowed down, but I check into and read and try to learn every single thing I can. That's the first thing. You can't help yourself if you don't know nothing. Second of all, as far as the radio broadcast is concerned, I was just one guy, and I didn't like what I was seeing out there, and I didn't hear anybody else saying these things. So I just decided to pick up a microphone and start making videos. And I didn't care if only 5 people listened. I was like, you know what? I'm going to say it because it needs to be said. Even if this is just the last gasp of Black society, I'm going to say this and make sure that the world knows we didn't go down without somebody saying something. And that basically is the genesis of it.
Okay, cool. Well, that's pretty much all I wanted to know, because I know you're talking about power, wealth, and influence. Oh, I'm 18.
You're 18.
Yeah.
Have you called me before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, how long have you been listening to me?
I know my mom listens to you a lot, so I just started listening like maybe like a month ago.
Uh-huh. And so now you are desirous of power, wealth, and influence.
Yeah.
And why do you want power, wealth, and influence?
Why? So, well, kind of like what you said, so I can pass it on to, like, I guess, my people, and I can be, I guess, have a legacy. So, I don't know exactly how to do it yet. Like, I don't know what my purpose is yet, but that's why I called you, so I can at least get some pointers and stuff like that.
Well, first you have to have the desire for it. So you've got that much now. You have the desire. Next comes a goal and a plan to get to that goal. Those are the two things you need next. Now, do you have a skill?
I like to draw. I can draw a little bit.
Okay, something else?
That's about it for right now. I'm learning graphic design, so I might be doing, like, web design pretty soon, but as far as anything else, that's all I really can do at the moment.
Okay, well, let me step in here because I'm hearing some ambivalence, and in the year 2014, you don't have the luxury of a whole long time to decide what you're going to do with your life, okay?
Okay.
My generation, the one before yours, we had that. You don't have that. So you really have to, you at 18, you're out of time. You are out of time, and you're in a deadly place. You're in Michigan. You are in a deadly place. Deadly. As far as economically.
Yeah.
They've got emergency finance manager laws, and white supremacy is on the march. You need to master a skill. Right now, you're trying to decide, do I want to be a graphic designer or a web designer? I would prefer you do web design, but whatever you do, you need to master it because you can only get paid well from something you've mastered, not something you just really like.
Okay.
And you got to do it quick, fast, and in a hurry. You don't have any time. You don't have. Are you still in grade school?
No, this is gonna be my second year in college, community college. So, yeah.
Okay, and you're taking graphic design?
Yes.
Drop that class. You can't do anything with that.
Oh.
Kenya, okay. Listen to me.
Tell
your mom that I said drop that class. You cannot do anything with that. Okay?
Okay.
There is nothing you can do with a graphic design diploma from a community college. Nothing you can do. You need to get into a computer programming course. Understand?
Okay.
You cannot do anything with the major you have chosen. It is worthless. Okay?
Okay.
And I am telling you this as a graphic designer and artist.
Oh, you're a graphic designer?
Yes, that's why I can tell you.
Cool.
That's why I'm telling you that what you have is worthless.
Okay. All right.
No, I mean, for like the black first shirts and stuff like that, I did the black first shirt designs, 7 a.m., all the 3D computer graphics and animation that you all saw in the 7 a.m. trailers, I did all those myself.
That is so awesome.
I mean, I've been to school for it and everything myself, but I'm telling you, there's nothing you can do with that diploma they're going to give you. Nothing.
Okay.
You need to get some courses in computer programming under your belt, preferably either an IT certification or computer programming or Java. Maybe even HTML so you can build website code, because what they really need are HTML programmers. But you can't do anything with that piece of paper you're going to get. It's worthless. So you need to get with your mom. She's probably listening right now, right?
Well, not right now, but...
Okay, well, tell her that, you know, I spoke to Jason tonight, and he broke my heart because he told me I can't do nothing with this paper you give me. Child, I'm telling you, there's nothing you can do with it. Now, I had my own ideas about what I was going to do, and I put my skill to work for myself, but what I'm telling you is that you're probably not going to have that option.
Yeah.
You're wasting a lot of time, and you're 18. You spend the next 2 years, get you a computer certification, and that will do much, much, much more for you. Much more.
Okay.
Well?
Well, I really appreciate it.
What are you waiting for?
Nothing. I was just, you know, your advice.
You can go tell your mom what I said.
Oh, right now?
I didn't mean tomorrow. I mean right this second. Oh, okay. What the hell are you waiting on?
Wait, come on, 1 minute. Okay, come. Hey, mom. Hello. Hello.
Black first, sister.
Black first.
Now, who exactly is this?
Who's speaking right this moment?
Yes.
Audra.
Audra. Now, are you on my friends list?
Yes.
Okay. And what is your name on my friends list so I'll know who you are?
It's probably my entire name, Audra Matthews McNutt.
Okay. You must be recent, because that name's not sticking out at me at the top of my mind. I've added so many people in the last 3 months, especially since Facebook closed the Jason Black account originally.
Yeah, I'm pretty recent, probably in the last month.
Your daughter has a useless vocation. I know, you didn't want to hear that. Your daughter has a useless vocation.
Okay.
Is she in school right now?
Yeah, she's in junior college.
What's she taking?
She's focusing on graphic design.
That is worthless.
Okay.
Listen to me, Audra.
Mm-hmm.
From a guy who's got a degree in graphic design, what she's doing right now is worthless. She will not be able to do anything with a graphic design diploma or even degree in the state of Michigan. And I can tell you the view ain't much better in the other 49 states either. She is going to school for something ultimately worthless. Do not send your children to school to be happy. You send them to school so they can get a skill so that they can begin the process of being financially and economically independent.
Mm-hmm.
What she is going to school for is going to leave her needing to go back to school when she finishes.
Mm-hmm.
Get her out of there. She needs to be taking a computer programming course. She can study 3D animation later if she wants to, but what she is studying right now is worthless. She will not be able to blow her nose or service any other bodily orifice with the piece of paper she's going to come out of there with. Audra, get your daughter out of that class. It is worthless. Get her into a computer programming course, whether it is Java, HTML, IT certification, whatever, although those are the ones I would like most. Get her out of that class. She's going to come out with something worthless and a whole bunch of debt for something that will never even be able to pay her bills, and y'all going to feel like you've been took. Well, she's got a degree, but nobody's hiring. Because right now she's going head-to-head against white kids and older white men with experience who are out of work. In graphic design, there were never really a lot of jobs to begin with. They offer the courses, but then they don't tell you, by the way, there's not a lot of jobs to begin with. But we got a great course for it.
Yeah, I'm struggling with a lot of debt myself.
Better to find out now than for her to find out 2 years from now. Now, why are you struggling with a bunch of debt?
Student loans.
Student loans for what, Audra?
Education.
Okay, I got that part. That's why it's called the student loan, is because students get educated. What's the education for?
It was for education I never completed. I never finished.
What did you take?
Marketing.
How's that working out for you?
It's not. I didn't finish.
Okay. So what you found out is that they offer plenty of courses.
Oh, yeah.
They offer plenty of big courses for big money. They're going to promise you the moon and the stars and tell you all the wonderful things you can do with a marketing degree. They're just not going to tell you that, oh, wait, by the way, when you get finished, we guarantee you'll have an education. We just don't guarantee that you'll have a job waiting for that education.
Yeah, I disagree.
Yeah. They don't tell you that for marketing, business management, business administration. Remember hotel and business management. Anybody remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Hotel and restaurant and
restaurant management. That was big
Audra.
In the late 80s.
Audra, mm-hmm. How old are you?
You said, how old am I? I'm 44.
Okay, so you and I are almost the same age. Okay, you got a few years on me, but still, you and I remember back when they used to offer that hotel and restaurant management.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, y'all, you could have gotten a degree in that. They will offer you a degree for
anything. I almost did.
Yep, that one, psychology, sociology, we can go down the list. Yeah, you can get a degree all you want to. You've got a degree, you've just got nobody who wants to hire for that. Let's give our kids something they can use. And not only can she get a job with that, better still, she can actually put it to work for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real thing you want. That's the real thing. So, Audra, get her out of that class now. I wouldn't wait any longer. Get her transferred into something she can use. If you need guidance on that, send me a message on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I will. Thank
you. We got Marty here. He's already working in the field, and he will tell you some of the mistakes that people make. He will tell you a course that she can take, and in a year, she'll be certified and ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
In a year. So, like I say, I mean, you got people here who will help you, but not if you don't take advantage of the resources. I'm glad you had her call me, but now you got to step in. Get her out of that class. It's worthless.
She called you on her own. She called you on her own. She was really excited. And I told her, go ahead, you know, give him a call.
He doesn't bite much. In any case, you got your marching orders, Audra. Tomorrow morning, you'll be finding out about getting her the hell out of there. That degree is worthless.
Well, thank you, Mr. Black. I appreciate it.
If you need more information, and it sounds like you do, send me a message on Facebook. I'll talk it over with you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for giving us a call today, Black First Sister. Caller from 646, you're on Live with the Black Channel.
Hello?
Yes, you're a caller from 646. When you heard that unmuted, that's you.
This is Elijah from Virginia.
Get closer to your phone.
This is Elijah from Virginia.
And what's on your mind?
I never got a chance to thank you for the form that you provide for us, because you know I'm young, I'm 18, and you know I never really had kind of like a group where I could express that had the similar thoughts as me, where I could express, and I just want to say I appreciated it.
Okay, you sound a little nervous back there. Is everything all right?
Oh yeah, I'm fine.
I'm not much of a big talker. Oh, if you're the hostage, now just say that, you know, white supremacy rocks, and we can call it contact 911 for you.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 18.
What state are you in?
18. Roanoke, Virginia. It's a really rural rural city.
Okay. And
I'm from New York City. Like, I moved down here, like, 2 years ago.
And what are your plans, Elijah?
Oh, I got in contact with Marty, and he sent me the VMware information. So because in September I'm going to be moving back to New York, I don't know whether it's going to be Harlem or Brooklyn, but specializing in the VMware certification, so that's what I was going to do.
And why are we moving back to Harlem or Brooklyn?
Oh, because we moved down here because my mom's an RN, so when she back in New York, there wasn't a lot of, she needed experience, but she couldn't really get it at the place that the job she needed, but there was experience available over here for her to get, and so that's why we moved down here, and now we're going to go back up now that she has the experience she needs to get, like, a better job. And plus, you know, we've been doing. She had a chocolate business, and since listening to you, she's working on rebuilding the website and like getting the molds and everything. So she also plans to do that when we get back.
Okay, so your mom is a listener of mine?
Yes.
Okay, well, she needs to be a part of Intelligent Black Society then, if she's not on my friend's list. Okay, if she can, do you know, like, is she on my Facebook list?
Yep.
Okay, who is she?
Tanisha. And?
Do you know how many Tanishas I got on my friends list?
I'm guessing that must mean a lot then.
More than one. Have her send me a message then. That way, you know, for people who are actually trying to do something or whatever, they need to be in touch with other people. Because we got, like, the clumsy chef. She usually joins us in the chat room. She's probably here tonight. I thought I saw her earlier. But, I mean, there's a number of black folk who are trying to get some things together, and she needs to be with other black people who are trying to go in the same direction she's in, okay?
Okay, yeah. She'll probably send you a message in the morning because she works at night.
Okay. Well, have her get a hold of us, and we'll be glad to help link her up with other black people who are trying to hustle and get things taken care of also.
Black first,
brother. Thank you for giving us a call tonight. Definitely, if you're trying to get something done, you want to be around people who are getting things done, too. You don't want to just be sitting out there. You want to be with other black people. At least be vibing with other black people who are getting something done. Don't just be sitting around. Be around some black folk. You're trying to get something done. You're trying to hustle. You're trying to make some things happen. Get around some other people who are trying to make some things happen, too. Caller from 727, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black first.
What's your name? Where you calling from?
Gail, I'm calling from the Tampa Bay area.
And what's
in
on
Florida.
Your mind?
What's on my mind is about my major. See if I'm going about it the right way. You were missing something about, like, graphic designing is worthless. But do you think that computer science is a worthless degree or tech management? I'm just asking from your experience.
I already said that computer science is one that you need to take, particularly computer programming, though, not computer science. You want to take computer programming. You need to be able to code and build programs for yourself, or for some. That's the only way you can do it for someone else. So computer programming, engineering, you know, those are the really major things we need to be looking at as black people.
Okay, because the reason why I'm asking is because I'm taking two certifications, one in, like you said, computer programming, another one is in Cisco or CCNA, another one, get some experience in the computer certifications. And I'm going by it the right way. I mean, I have no student loan debt as well.
Okay, you say you're taking computer programming. What language?
I think it's C++. Plus, I think it is. I'm not too sure.
Whoa. You think? You don't know what language you're going to be taking?
It's just the first time I've ever called you, so that's why.
Okay, it's not about calling me. You said, I am taking certifications in computer programming and Cisco. That's what you said.
Correct.
But now you're saying, but I don't know what computer language. I'm taking the certification for computer language, but you don't know what language you're taking?
Yeah, this is the first time, like, yeah, I've been challenged, so...
Okay, you got the phone up on your chin. Come on now, I understand. Your single mama's raised y'all shy. I get that. Time to come out your shell, brother. You're a grown man. Time to come out the shell. It's time to come on out.
No problem.
What language you're taking doesn't have anything to do with your conversation with me tonight. When you signed up for that course, you're supposed to know. So what did you think you were taking?
I thought I was taking C++, or you could say C+, you know, like with the computer programming.
But there's C+, there's C++, you know, they've got higher languages now. You know, we got
really?
Perl.
What kind of higher language they have?
Brother, you got Java, you got Perl. You need to go learn, but you're the guy who's taking the courses. Or at least you said
all
you
right.
are. Have you actually started these courses yet?
I started them since last year.
Okay, but you don't know what language you're taking?
For me,
I thought I was taking them. You don't know after a year?
I just...
Brother, you're supposed to know that before you even walked into class, and you're saying, I've been going for almost a year. I don't know what language I'm taking, though. So what have you been doing for the last year, just out of curiosity? What do you have you doing in this class?
Getting my associate's degree, sir. That's what I was getting. I was just preoccupied with my associate's degree, just finished up my last two classes from last year.
Okay, but
that's
an associate's degree in what?
Just a general one for right now.
A general one, okay, but you have to have a general study. So what the course you're studying to get that associate's degree you were going for? What was your major?
My major was in technology management. So that's my associate's degree. It was in a community college. It wasn't in a university.
Even going to a community college is okay if you're taking the right course.
Right.
Brother, obviously you're not getting a hell of a whole lot of those courses, though.
Of course. What should I do?
You're telling us that I'm racking up student loan debt, and I don't even know what the course is I'm taking, but I've already signed up for the debt. And I didn't get anything out of my technology management class. That's why I'm going back to take something else. But I signed up for a class now, and I'm not even really clear on what the class is I'm taking.
I see your point, sir. But I don't have no student loan debt. Well, I ain't said I do not have no student loan debt at all.
Okay. Did you say DeVry said that?
No, you said I was racking up student loan debt, but I'm telling you I did not have no student loan debt at all.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you have no student loan debt because you're not getting no education. I'm glad you have no debt because you are receiving no education. You don't even know what you're there for. I think this is a gigantic waste of your time. So my recommendation for your schooling is drop out because you're wasting your time. You don't even know why you're there. Why? I don't understand. What are you there for? You can't even tell us what classes you're in. I'm in class. Why? I don't know. Computer programming. What kind? Oh, I sure don't know that. Can you look it up? I'm not sure. Where you go to? I'm not sure.
All right. I understand that, sir. Black first.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for joining us. I was not trying to be mean. I'm just saying. I'm not going to have that brother stay in school for another 2 or 3 years. He doesn't even know why he's there. Caller from 775, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, what's happening? This is Nate Figs. You told me to call in, so that's what I'm doing. Hello,
yeah.
How are you doing?
Now, what was it you wanted to ask?
Well, not ask per se as to have, make a statement, or I'll ask it. What's up with the cooning? Everybody's saying don't coon, we shouldn't coon, but they don't have no replacement mechanism set in place for them to go. So why do we keep talking about cooning and people shouldn't coon? And then, you know, even right now, we on YouTube. Who on YouTube? Who owns Ustream?
That was not what I told you to call in for. You, you're
okay,
lying.
Well, we could go there. I just have something more important to talk about. But we could talk about whatever you want to talk about.
I did not ask you what you want to talk about. I asked you what did you want to ask me that had me make you call in. Your mind wandered.
Oh, we was talking about the caller, remember? We was talking about the caller. And then I said I didn't really want to talk about that because that's not that important. But
obviously,
the way you come off on some of these callers, you beating them upside the head.
It was important enough for you to make the statement that you made.
Okay.
Now, just out of curiosity.
Well, I
want to
talk about
just
the cooning
out of curiosity. Excuse me.
Yeah,
knock
go ahead.
Ease off the mollies, dude. You are wired 90 to nothing.
Because I got so much shit to say, dude. It's ridiculous.
Okay, brother. Well, you know what? The problem is most people can contain themselves no matter how much they have to say.
Okay, I'll do that.
And
I'll do that, sir.
Most children run around like they're on a sugar high and can't contain themselves. We look for adults to have a little more. It's a word called discipline.
Okay, can we get past that and get to the subject, though? Can we get to the subject?
Right now, the subject is your lack of discipline, composure, maturity, manhood. I mean, that's the subject
okay,
right now.
Okay, man. Can we get to the subject, though?
See,
all that's deflection to me. Let's stop deflecting and let's talk about something real.
I'm not deflecting. What I'm telling you is that people need to understand what they're hearing.
Okay, have discipline. Okay, I said I'll shut up and let you talk.
Okay.
Go ahead and talk.
You need to be quiet now.
Okay, there you go.
I mean, this is sounding like a Molly thing here, and that's not cool.
Oh, man, come on, man. I got some very important news for you. I got some very important things for your listeners to hear. Now, if you want to play the semantics thing, okay,
no, really.
But I'm trying to. You told me to call in.
Why did you
so
get
I'm
told
calling
to call,
in.
Why did you get told to call in?
Over your previous caller last night, or whenever that was. About how you put in your marks. Well, who wins? You put who wins. It don't matter who wins. We are losing right now. Let's
okay,
get down to
no,
the nitty gritty of what we need to do as a people.
That was not what you said. So
okay,
stop.
Repeat to
your
what
mind.
I said.
Your mind does not wander. Your mind scatters. That wasn't
it ain't
what
scattered
you said.
At all, brother. That's what. That's
yeah,
the problem. It's not scattered. I'm
no,
like a horse with the blinders on.
Yeah, you're like a horse with the blinders on. Yes,
yeah, on what we need to be doing. All this semantic stuff, let's quit it. Let's stop it.
Do you hear yourself?
Get to the nitty gritty.
Do you hear yourself right now? Are you even listening?
I hope I do. But bring it, bro. Bring it. That's all I'm saying. Bring it. I'll shut up, let you talk. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I want you to hear yourself later if you don't get banned. I want you to hear yourself. Listen to the way you're acting. Look at how you're acting.
You told me to call in. I'm saying I want to talk about something more important for your audience.
You have been
and then you go into my character of my manhood and all that stuff. Come on, man. Let that go. Let's talk about something real.
You have been yammering on now for 3 minutes, and nobody even knows what it was you said.
Because you keep interrupting me. This is what I'm saying.
Well, tell us. Tell us what you said.
Thank you. Can I continue? Can I continue now? You done?
Yes.
Can I continue?
Yes, actually.
Okay, on this cooning thing.
It wasn't about
a coon made it possible for you to be doing what you're doing. A coon walked into YouTube, said, "Massa, can we get in? Can we be on this radio station, please?"
Radio.
And then you get around and talk about coons like Acuna is the reason you're on the air.
How
brother,
old are
you? You got to leave somewhere for Acuna to go.
How old, brother, how old are you?
I'm 46, man.
Wow.
Meaning I'm your senior. Meaning I'm your senior.
Wow. All these dudes over 40, and y'all all act like the...
See, third. Here we go. Here we go. Character assassination. Stop it, bruh. We got more important things to do than that.
You're almost 50.
That's right.
Almost
and guess
50.
How many houses I own. See, you want to assassinate my character, but you don't even know me.
You're almost
50. This is a problem, man. This is a problem. We need to get down to the nitty-gritty of what's wrong with these black folks and get them to the promised land. We don't have time to be talking about your intelligence factor and all that. Come on, man. We need phone numbers. We need addresses. White supremacy out here kicking our ass. And you out here talking about semantics. Stop it.
Address to Bellevue.
I'm just saying, dude. I'm 46 and got more common sense than you.
Really?
We don't need to be talking about what you're talking about. Walmart. Walmart ain't helping us right now, bruh.
If you got more common sense than me, why is it nobody's calling your broadcast? Nobody.
Why is it everybody scared to talk to you? Because you're yelling at them.
Am I yelling at you now?
But see, like I said before.
You're yelling. You want
to
quit
yelling. There you go. I like that. Let's quit yelling.
I'm talking shit about it.
I need to do it too. You're right.
You're incapable.
But I'm
stop.
Very passionate right now. I'm very passionate right now.
Brother,
so I'm not directing my yelling to you. I'm really just passionate about this situation.
Sure you yell at everybody. I'm sure you yell at the mailman.
I ain't yelling at you, man. I'm passionate right now.
Yeah, you
but
are.
Come on,
you're
man. Good. I listen to your show. You good. I love Professor Black Truth. He be spitting. But you do be yelling at people. Come on.
Who's
stop yelling
at
black folk. Black
Who's
folk cut you out when you yell at them.
Who's yelling now?
Me. Yeah, and I need to listen to my own advice. You're right. But right now, I'm very passionate. So my anger is not at you per se.
You're not passionate.
My yelling is not at you per se.
Okay, brother, you're not passionate. You are out of control and you lack self-control.
Okay.
That's not passionate. That's lack of self-control.
All right.
Now, I expect that from women. Women are emotional. Women
I
are
just said that about what you be doing. You just read my post. I just said that about you. Come on, bruh. You read my comments trying to use them on me. See, that's why I'm yelling.
So the problem that you have is that I am referencing your comments. You trying to use my comments on me.
No, dog, that ain't got nothing to do with what I was going to share with your audience. Look here, I am a record producer. I produce Mix-A-Lot, Master P, Conscious Daughters, Paris. All these artists I produce already at 46 years old. So I'm the Dr. Frankenstein that messed up this whole shit.
What is your name?
My name is Nate Fox.
Nate Fox, and you produce...
You can Google it, baby. Google it.
You produce.
Go ahead, Google it right now.
Sir, you produced Sir Mix-A-Lot.
Yes. Co-produced Sir Mix-A-Lot. That's right. Baby Got Back album. Look it up.
Baby Got Back was an album?
You know what I mean. A CD. You know what I'm talking about. Come on,
No, I don't know what you mean. Tell me.
You don't know that he... You don't know Baby Got Back was a single off album. Come on.
No, you said it was an album. Baby Got Back, the album. And then I said the album, and now you're saying something
okay,
different.
Okay, the single. See, here we go with the semantics, dog. Here we go with the semantics.
Okay,
I said what I said. I was wrong. Can we get past I was wrong and move on?
You produced it, but you don't know what you produced?
I just said on the Baby Got Back album.
But you got more common sense than me, but you don't even know what you produced. I know it better than you.
Come on, man. Of course I know what I produced.
Apparently not.
One time's got no case, okay? You happy? See,
one
this is what I'm saying,
no
man.
You produced
one time's
got
no case. I produce, yes. But see how you made it about just that, and you tried to discredit everything else? This is what you're doing with everybody.
Sir,
stop
you're
that.
The one who said it. You're the one who said it.
And I backed it up, did I not?
No, you haven't, really, because...
Okay, go Google it. Go
Brother,
Google
I
it and go...
No.
And see, my accomplishments shouldn't even matter. What I do shouldn't even matter, dude.
Actually, it does.
What I got to say is more important. What people got to say, forgive me. What people got to say is more important than semantics?
No.
Any kind of this arguing over nonsense?
No, we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about
We're not going to do that. Okay.
You said that you're a producer. You said you're a producer.
All right, let's go there.
Everything you named was 2 decades ago. What do you produce lately?
Exactly, which is why I was going to give you some game on Sir Mix-a-Lot. To give you an example of how Conan, in this industry,
brother, stop
is off the chain.
Name them. Name who you produced in the last 2 years. Name them.
South Park.
Is that a rap group? Who is that?
You don't even know South Park, man?
No, brother, I don't know
South Park. The animated series. Still getting checks off of that, bro. But it ain't about me.
A show? Wait a minute. You produce South Park cartoon?
I said the music. I'm sorry if I didn't say that. I produced the music.
Do you have
proof? South Park animated series, yes.
You have proof of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Damn.
I'd like
but
to
see,
see
it shouldn't be about me, though.
Actually,
it
yes,
should
it
be
should
about
be.
The caller and what they do or what they have or what they got.
No,
or
brother,
what they been did. What are we
be
going
lying.
To do now?
Because you
that's
could be
what
lying.
I think black people should be talking about right now.
Brother, you could be lying.
So what? That's what I'm saying. Even if I am lying, let's talk about realness. I'm not lying. Like I said, you could call, you could Google, all that. I have no reason to lie to you, bro.
Realness. And you
I'm
wonder
saying,
why
you got a good thing going. Let's not mess it up by burning all the bridges here.
It doesn't matter if I'm lying. Let's talk about realness.
Let's go there. Everybody lies. Let's get it out in the open. Everybody lies.
Let's talk about
everybody.
Reality.
You're lying. I'm lying. Everybody's a lie. But somewhere in that lie, we got to work together. See what I'm saying? Everybody lying. So what good is this? Okay, you want to have a gotcha moment.
Let's
you want to have your gotcha. Oh, I caught you in a lie. So there you go. You don't mean shit. Come on, man.
So if I brothers and sisters,
Dude, you ain't even tipped the iceberg with me.
How
you ain't even tipped the iceberg with me. You won't even let me get out the real game. You won't even let me get out the real game for your audience, man. That's how your ego is overshadowed with the message.
They couldn't hear you. What state are you from?
I'm in Nevada.
You're from Nevada?
Of all places.
You're from Nevada?
Yes, bro. No, I'm not from Nevada. I'm from Richmond, California.
But
Richmond, California.
But you produced Sir Mix-a-Lot and South Park.
Master P, Conscious Daughters, Paris. The list is long, bruh. The list is long. But see, what I'm doing don't matter. I had an important message for your people based on my productions.
But you're a
that
but
I
you're
can
a
share
big-time
with your audience.
But you're a big time producer. You ought to be way
that
bigger
ain't
than me.
Big time nothing. I'm not big time nothing. I didn't say
then
nothing like
listen
that.
To you. Then we shouldn't listen
no,
to you.
No.
Why should we listen
talk?
To you? We can listen
Thank
to little
you.
People all day. Why should we listen to you?
Okay, I'm finna show you. Okay, damn. I got a call.
You start off
when
with
we
two.
Were watching the Grammys, see, there you cut me off again. When we were watching the Grammys, we seen how Robin Thicke, all the rest of them, had basically hijacked black music. We all seen it. All right, so having this relationship with Mr. Anthony Ray, excuse me, I said, let me call this guy. Let's see if we could get something together and try to change this industry around. Called him on Twitter, found him up on Twitter. He hit me back. He said, man, don't you ever be leaving your information on Twitter. We got randoms out here. Now, what the hell do I care about people knowing my address? All right? Why is that more important than what we need to do as a people? Now, Mix-a-Lot has a history where black people had shot up his mama house. All right? Now, where did he have to go but white supremacy as an alternative to how we're treating them in the hood? He said, I can't do nothing for people in the hood. Because every time you give them something, they just go bad on you. So I can understand that. But look into the mindset of today. He's seeing that our music has been taken over. And what did he do? He doubled down. No, wait a minute. He doubled down on white supremacy. You seen him doing that Seattle shit with all the white girls on stage? He's just doubled down.
Okay.
This is important shit I got to say to your audience.
Okay, brother, wrap it up in 10 seconds. What is the point? Wrap it up.
The point is, it's a coon somewhere that made you available to make it available for you to talk what you do. We got to change that part. I'm watching Dabu.
Nobody made it available.
Hold on. I'm watching Dawa Israel. He got white people in the background.
Nobody made anything available for me. You're out of your mind. I did this myself.
Dude, who owns YouTube? Who's your – are you owning YouTube? Are you owning Ustream?
I don't
know. Are you
on
owning Ustream?
Brother,
are we owning Ustream?
Listen
to that. Do we own Ustream?
Sir, I don't need YouTube or Ustream. They just make it easier. But I was doing
okay, why you can't fuck with black people to make it easier? Because they ain't got it, right? We ain't got nowhere to go. Where are we going to go? You want people to leave white supremacy alone, but you don't offer a replacement of white supremacy.
Yes, I do.
We have to have these black people for somewhere to go. And the only thing they can cling on to is Conan. That's it.
I have a replacement. The answer to white supremacy is black empowerment. You didn't know that.
Where is it?
Right.
Where is it? You telling people not to call in to say what they advertise the products.
Sir, right here. Hidden Color.
All
right,
I'm sorry. I apologize for my tone.
Excuse me. Sir, stop. Dr. Claude Anderson is black empowerment. What I do here is black empowerment. Hidden Color.
But who's behind your power? Who's behind
me,
your power,
myself,
man?
Me, myself, and
who's
I.
Who's behind it?
Me, myself, and I.
No. You streaming YouTube is owned by two Jewish people. Come on,
sir,
now. Be real with it.
That has nothing to do with me.
It do. I wouldn't have known you if it wasn't for YouTube. So
no,
what are you talking about?
Sir, if YouTube disappears...
I'm sorry for yelling again.
Sir, stop talking. If YouTube disappears tomorrow, I will still be out there just as much as I am now.
Where are you going?
Tomorrow morning.
Where are you going? Where's the black company that's going to replace YouTube?
Sir, that's what I'm saying, though. Sir, stop talking.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And unlike you, I don't need 30 minutes of rambling. You are on my... Sir, stop talking. You are on my website, not YouTube or Ustream. You're on my website.
Who owns your website?
Me.
I'm sorry if I keep talking, but everything you're saying goes back to Jewish or white people.
Sir, I own
everything. See, y'all niggas
deluding
yourselves into thinking that at the end of the day, we not knocking on some white man's door for what we need.
Sir, you're telling
me. Come on, man.
You're telling me that somebody else owns the Black Channel.
Yes.
Get off
my phone. Because who owns the website?
Caller from 330, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black Furs, this is Dave 330. Good evening, and let your ears relax a little at least.
Yes. There's only so much stupidity that I can take out of the West Coast in 48 hours. There's only so much I can take. He literally sat here and told me that I do not own my own website. Really?
The mindset is very, very disturbing. The mindset basically comes from a lack of logic and a lack of information. I hate to be preachy, but my people perish for a lack of knowledge. He don't know. Yes, you can argue what he said and said, hey, look, well, well, this step here was owned by some person who wasn't black. But first thing I'm going to say to you when you say that is, why can't a black person do it? He's making it seem like you have to go that route. No, the point of what we're doing is you can do it yourself. He hasn't graduated to the mindset of total independence because he always thinks that he should grab the first thing coming or going and ride it. And at the end of the day, if you grab anything out the sky right now and riding with it at some level, there are going to be non-blacks involved in it. But you can build it up yourself. It requires that you have a builder mindset, plan things out, draw things out, step through it correctly, and build it properly. But that's logic.
But, brother, here's the thing, okay? He was told to call him because he was defending the Nimrod from Saturday. You know, the guy who told us that there's prime real estate in the California desert. That was why I told him he needed to call in, because that's what he was doing. He was defending that guy, and he called in tonight. He's only a couple of years older than that nitwit was, and this is what happened to our over 40-year-old black males. This is what they're doing. They're drunk. They're high. They're fraudulent. They're con artists. Their mouths never quit running. But when you ask them a question, there is no exchange of information. He had a bunch of protests, and when he asked, what's the solution, I said, well, we are black empowerment. No, it's not. What is black empowerment? He has no idea what that is. He doesn't actually have an answer to give. But here's the other thing, brother. As black people, when you're dealing with an individual who's never run a business before, he comes out with stupid things like that guy said. It is not necessary for us to own every step along the way. It is only necessary for us to own the things that generate revenue. YouTube does not generate, I'm not generating revenue for YouTube. YouTube's not generating revenue for me at this point. Ustream is not generating revenue for me. I might be generating some for them, for the idiots who don't have ad blocker. But that's not my fault. They serve my purposes. They give me a complete broadcasting infrastructure that is in place and does not require me to maintain it myself. Now, in the beginning of the Black Channel, I did that myself. And if I needed to do it tomorrow, I could. I'm doing my own DVDs. I'm doing my own documentary. That's me. The steps that you need to own, control, and pass down. You know, the things that give me ownership, I got all that. And all they do is just help facilitate it. But the parts that will generate revenue, I own all of that. And YouTube, being associated with the Black Channel, YouTube can't pull the plug on nothing over here. They sure can't. But guys like that who don't know anything, and if you think he's ever produced Mary Had a Little Lamb, much less a real song, y'all are crazier than he is. But, brother, this is what happens to them. They retreat into fantasy worlds. They are crazy as hell, and they're retreating into fantasy worlds, and that Negro is almost 50. And that's what's been trying. Think about this. That guy claims he's such a super dope music producer, and done fell totally the hell off. He's not competing against white supremacy in any way in his own life, and now he wants to call in and tell us that he's got the answer for us competing with white supremacy. Sound familiar? Like the guy who could not buy a building of his own, but he called in to tell all of us how he was going to teach us to do it.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. It's mortifying. Grown-ass men. And this is what's been supposedly telling y'all that they were fighting white supremacy for the last 50 years, brother. For the last 30 years, that nigga will tell you that he was fighting white supremacy. For real.
Canister thinking. soon as he got to step one, which is maybe, and I'm assuming he did it, he did a couple tracks. He said, oh, I'm living the life now. I'm doing good. Meanwhile, you got Andrew Luck out here with a quarterback for a football team buying $12,000 cars because, mark my words, in 10 years, he will be in a manager's seat somewhere, and he might even own part of a team.
I want to know why I don't have a bunch of patience. That's why. What you just heard on the previous call, that is why. I don't have a bunch of patience, brother. I don't have a bunch of patience. For Negroes living in fantasy worlds, he is not a producer. He's never produced anything. He don't know nothing. And then he said that it doesn't even matter if I'm lying. Let's talk about the realness. We got too many black males out there on drugs is what we got. Too many black males on the pipe. Too many black males on the blunts. Too many black males hitting the bong. Too many black males on mollies. And all of them with internet access. They can't challenge white supremacy, but they can call up here and try to challenge me all day.
Can I say one thing? I'm going to quote Richard Pryor in a stand-up that he did one year. He said, if I had kept all the money that I had put up my nose, that I smoked up, that I drank up, I could have bought me a country. Same thing.
Right now, no matter what you might think of him for the haters out there, Tariq Nasheed got the number one DVD documentary on Amazon. Number one. You all can go take a look at it. In the documentary category, it's number one. Now, that's a guy who went head-to-head with white supremacy and is kicking their ass right now. I don't want to hear from any black males talking about what we can't do, brother. I don't want to hear it. I got no patience. Because black males as a group like to intellectually masturbate, but they don't actually want to show anything. I love showing stuff. I'll show you. I'm not going to tell you nothing. And we don't have to talk about me. Let's talk about what I've done. And I'll put it right out there on Front Street so you can see it. And now we don't have to discuss it anymore. It's right there. But so many black males are habitual failures in life that we never even get that far. Brother, we never even get that far.
And add more to it, not only does Tariq have the number one spot right now, I pre-ordered it and it was sold out. He sold out in 1 second. They don't have any copies right now. I had to poke around the forum and ask the brothers, can you give me another site that show that we own and we control that I can get it from? I had to order it from somewhere else. They ain't even got none. They sold out at 12:01.
Now, do you know what that means? What that means right now, and I don't want, because I know Tariq's going to hear this, and I don't want this to come out the wrong way. I mean this as respectfully as possible. Right now, Tariq has a license to print money, is what you're basically saying. He's
yep.
sold out, which means there's a waiting list of people to get the product, which means that as quick as he can crank it out, the money is already waiting. It's just waiting on him right now. He's got a license to print money. How many black males can say that?
He got a license to print money. On top of that, I listened to a show. He sold out every movie theater, every show by the time they went. He sold out every one of them. There was waiting lines at some of those showings. So he completely sold out all the theaters before the show started. And he sold all the copies. Amazon had a DVD before it was released.
But Negroes are on my phone talking about white supremacy and what we can't do. And he expects, they seriously think that I'm going to listen to that. And even if what he was saying was accurate, even if he really did do all that stuff, who gives a damn? What you doing today? I'll talk about that. No, let's do talk about it. Damn near 50 years old. And the only conversation, as I start off the broadcast saying, this is why black males are jokes. He doesn't want to have a conversation about what he's built. Even if what he's saying were truthful, and it ain't, but even if it were, he wants to bring up war stories. What he did 20 years ago. Nothing today. And why is that? Because he ain't got nothing to show. But he wants respect.
Exactly. The reason I had called was, of course, was to deal with the other callers before him, which were dealing with all the computer questions they were asking.
Oh, good.
I figured that would be, I figured I had to call in and set a few things straight. Number one, the one caller called in and he mentioned that he was in school, he didn't know what he was studying. He's caught in the gen ed trap. The gen ed trap is the first 2-3 years of school. Most schools will kind of almost push you into, college will push you into this, well, you have to take this English and this sociology, which has nothing at all to do with what you're going to do in real life, because they want to milk that money off top. They don't tell you that, but that's what they're doing. They're milking the money off top because they figure, if I get the money off top now for these other for these other classes, I ain't got to worry about him running later, and then I guarantee my revenue for courses I can't sell. Why do they have all you guys taking classes on how to write? Can you not write down? Have you never written a paper? Those are easy money catchers for the, and most of the classes, they basically just weed out the people they don't like. And what it comes down to a lot of times is not what the establishment has for standards, because some of the schools don't have standards at all, let alone a few. It comes down to what the perception of the professor or the department is. So if you don't fit their world, and we all know what most professors are, you're already on the list. It's a weed out. He's stuck in a weed out. And like you said, until you get a degree program and get planted in it, you are going to be stuck fighting the weed out battle. I didn't let that happen to me. When I walked into college the first day, 2 months before I walked into college the first day, I sat down with the chair of the computer science department at my school and said, this is the program I want to do. He looked at me and said, okay, so why are you here? I said, because we need to get on the same page. What do you expect from this program? What do I need to do when I learn in writing? Because I'm going to do it, and I'm going to bring you the paper when it's done and say, I'm done with it. He said, he put it out on the screen and said, here's the courses that you need right here. I said, okay. He said, how's your math background? I said, I only went to algebra 2. He said, you need to go further in math, a lot further in math. I said, that don't bother me. Okay. Take the first class if you can handle it. Take the classes up till you get to your senior portion. If your math's not caught up by then, you may have to sit out semester 2 of these classes to catch your math up. But it should not delay your graduation one semester. I said, fine, let's do it. I came out in 4 years and one extra quarter. Don't get caught in this gen ed trap. It's a trap. That's one of the unfortunate advantages of a tech school, is that a tech school sells you basically on what they can teach you for your skill set, so they don't put you on all those gen ed. College gives this line of, we want you to be a well-rounded student, well-rounded student. I'm going to tell you from my experience. I sat down with, when I was a freshman, with some of the seniors in the philosophy department and blew them out. They had all these courses about all these religion courses and all these philosophy courses. And I would sit there and they would say, oh, what about this mystical theory or this mystical theory, this mystical theory? I said, okay, let me ask you a question about your mystical theory. Yeah? how does your mystical theory do anything for those potatoes you're gnawing on right now? They don't. I said, you could theorize and have this theory all day and night. He said, well, we can be a theologian or we can be a minister and make money. I said, ministers make money because they turn their religion into a business. Until you get a business-based mindset, you can take them chips, put them back in the case because you can't afford them. You can feed me all the theological stuff in the world and make me feel better, but making me feel better does not put a George Washington in my pocket. It does not put food in my refrigerator. It does not feed my kids. And most importantly, it does not help them be better the economic situation of my community. It don't do none of that. So for him, I say, get in your major quick. If you don't know it, like TBA said, step out of school. Then they're going to suck you dry, you're going to get tired, you're going to get burned out and bored, and you're going to feel you're not going anywhere because you ain't going nowhere.
What about the 18-year-old girl who's taking graphic design? What did you think about that one?
I agree with you. Graphic design is a path to nothingness unless, and this is a big one because you really have to dig deep for this one, you have to have a business, not a business mindset, a business mentality. And graphic design is just the avenue you're going to use to build your business. But you basically have to have the knowledge, essentially an MBA, walking in the door to make that work. Because you have to already understand, okay, when you have a business, okay, I'm doing a business, here's my marketing, here's my financing, I'm using Quicken for my finance sheets, okay, I'm doing monthly returns, everything's net 30, okay, now I need to set up my marketing scheme, I'm using social media, plus I'm using local advertising in these magazines, A, B, C, D, E, plus I bought these many shirts, this many price. You have to have that mind going into something like that in order to make any money out of it. Because there's economics. Economics should be required for every student, and every student ever goes into college. Because you learn supply and demand. The most essential skill to learn is supply and demand. If they don't want it, they ain't going to buy it, and you ain't going to make no money off it. Whether it's good or garbage, if the people don't want it and do not desire to buy it, you will not sell it. If salespeople create the desire or translate what a person really wants into desire for the product they really have, that's an effective salesman. So unless you got that, all that going in, and you already got your system set up that you're going to learn these skills, and as you learn them, you're going to go ahead and turn them over to a company or a side venture, you out. It ain't worth it. She would be better served, like you said, to go sit. Jelani L. has an A-plus class and doing $50. She should be in it. I put that in the chat. She should be in that class. No questions. Heck, her mom might want to be in it too. They can do it together. It's mother-daughter time. Like I was saying in the chat room, I knew an Arab guy I know him very well. He pointed to an article about 4 or 5 years ago. The youngest person to ever get Microsoft certified was a programmer who got certified in C# on the Microsoft certification program, and that Pakistani student was 12. 12, and he was writing apps in an area where they can barely get electricity. It's not time to play around with degrees that ain't going to make you no money. Now, that works for them because what you don't know about them is they're just getting a degree so that they can say they have one. They're only going to go work for a job that their friends work at or their family members own the company. That's most of the people in those classes. Oh, yeah, we get 50% employment for English majors. Yeah, but 40% of English majors got family members that own businesses already. They don't tell you that. I went to programming classes when I was in computer science and learned how to write code and everything, and I was looking at the job market and it was looking pretty good, and I said, wait a minute, I said, we're learning how to program, yeah. But when my first awakening came, when I had my first internship, and they asked me during the internship interview, how much do I know about Java? I said, I haven't taken that course yet. Can you program in Microsoft Visual Basic? I use Unix. That gave me a clue right there. I was not learning what I needed to learn. So along came the Cisco Pro Academy in my school. I said, yes, I want to go in. I know this is a very hot technology. I can go in, finish it, and take the test. Of the Cisco Academy, of all the students who took it the first semester, as it was offered as a university course, half of them never graduated because they got sucked up into $60,000, $70,000 networking jobs during the dot-com crash. That's power. When you, I feel I have a degree of power in my certifications because at this point, if anybody had anything to say to me and said, Marty, you don't have a job, I get 6 calls a week for job offers. I don't have to worry about not having a job. That's a little bit of freedom there. I don't have to worry about if I send somebody. All I wish is for her, her mother, and others of us to experience that, to have at least that much liberty to say, you know what, I don't worry about working here no more. I don't like it here. I'm going somewhere else. The average person with IT certification stays in the job 2 years because they get pulled out of the job for something better. They get more certs, they get more experience, they get more skills, they get pulled into something better. So what I say to her in short, go get certified. Cut that out. Go get the computer science. If that's too strong for you, you can do something like IT or CIS. I've seen people do it, brothers and sisters do it, and still pull this off. But you need to get some certs behind you, because when you walk out of there with just that degree, they don't stand no more. The game didn't change. They don't just take you and say, oh, well, you got a computer science degree, we're going to give you this job here. No. They want to know one thing. This is a capitalist economic system. They have a demand for something. You must be able to supply it for them to want you. And the key is all the new technologies is where the biggest demand is at, because they come out and there's not enough people to fit for people who want it.
Okay, where would you recommend she start?
Two tracks. One, if you're going to go the hardware server route, A+, Net+, Security+, 1, 2, 3, trifecta. Then you go on the Windows. Once you knock those three out, you'll be employable at that point. She's 18. She'll be employable at that point.
She's the 18-year-old who doesn't know anything about this stuff. Where would you have her start?
Jelani L's offering a class to teach her this stuff. The only thing about the A+ is, that's the first one. You study the materials, you sit for the exam. The only hands-on part you got to worry about is, I tell people who are studying for it, before you go sit for your test or right after, treat yourself, get build up like a $400 or $500 budget somehow, however you got to do it, go to Newegg or something like that and buy components and build your first machine. Don't care how powerful it is. Don't care how many options it has. Just build it. Well, once you build your first computer, you now have a relative understanding of all the major components, how they sit, how they work, and what they're supposed to do. Once you get to that point with an A+, if something breaks, your intuition will kick in and point you in the right direction because you've done all of it. Whether you realize it or not, you fixed everything because you started from nothing and went to everything. Hey, go get the computer. Go get the parts now if you got the money. Turn them off. Put it together. See if they can work it out. Build it out. There's tons of videos out there on YouTube. She can get like her phone or whatever and watch them and do it as she goes. So she gets something functional. Once she gets that, just an A+ class, she'll go right through it. Because it will make total sense to her. Then she can go and get a job doing some being a PC support, desktop support, or she can do technical assistance if she really wants to go there at like a franchise, like a Best Buy or something. She can be in the Geek Squad or something. They'll eat her up all day. That's level one. Level two is once you knock the A+ out, you go Security+, Net+. Same company, same style of study. One gets you an introduction to networks. Just learn a theory, and one gets induction to security. Learn the theory. The trifecta there. Once you get those three, I would tell her if she's going to do hardware, move into a Microsoft Certified Solutions Engineer, MCSE. MCSE is about giving ballpark, depending on how they set you up, 4 to 6 exams. But once you have it for life. And MCSE makes an average of $18,000 a year. That didn't say anything about a degree at all when I said that. Then when she goes from there, if she wants to go further, I would tell her, at that point, you understand servers, you understand hardware, kind of let that go. That's what step I'm at now. Go into virtualization. Figure out how to take that machine and all the functionalities of it, turn it into a file on a computer. Then you go into virtualizing environments and supporting virtual environments. I've had offers anywhere from $50 to $90 an hour. That's at the bottom level. The top level designers are IT consultants. when they get the top level of BM certification, DCDS, they're now certified designers. They're now back as a data center architect. They don't come in for less than $150 an hour. They're on consulting. They're their own company. They're their own business now. They're business with 10 toes. That's the hardware side. And again, there's a database side and a software development side. The software development side is flatter. Pick a language, master it. You're gonna do Java. Get your Java certifications. You can work with Java. Do some Java apps on the side. Put some up in the App Store. Put them on your resume. Build out a couple things, and then start. Maybe do some YouTube videos of what you learn along the way. Do this design. Here's some code here. Here's some code that does this, that, and the other. Build your brand to associate your name with coding. Then you can go out here, and then what you'll find is, a lot of times, you won't find the jobs. The jobs will start to find you because they look at your name and they know what you're about. You built your brand up. In the meanwhile, 5 to 9, you're writing code for your own little programs or projects that you want. Once you get one language, master another and another and another. Then you can deal with integrating code. When you get to the level you master 2 or 3 languages and you start to learn how to take C# code and make it play well with Java, or taking VBA code from Excel spreadsheets and having it dump out to an SQL database, then you're back in development architecture. That business end. Now you're talking about 70s, 80s, maybe 90,000 a year just to do that stuff. Always the man for that stuff, because one thing about it is when 9/11 hit, the visas went down. They used to farm that stuff out overseas like crazy. Back in 2000, 2001, it was hard to find a job in programming. Now, ain't nearly so hard. I just know a guy now. He said, I don't know what to do. I'm working at Walmart, you know, and I got a kid. I'm like, look, you've coded with me before in this last company. You need to go get your first coding cert. You did C#? Go get your C# shirt. Sir. He talked to him. He said, okay, do you think I should do programming? I said, yes. He said, I want to go to get a master's degree in biology. I literally slapped him with my words. I said, are you serious? I said, biology ain't going to get you nowhere, and you got a mouth to feed. You got to think practically now. Practically says you know how to code. That's a skill. You need to work that skill to get your bills paid and make sure your baby got baby formula. He took a job up in Cleveland last week, paying $40,000 without a cert. He'll give him another $10,000, $15,000 raise once he gets it. His degree in college wasn't even a consideration. It was what he knew how to do because he had something to supply. They had a demand for it. That's what I say to her.
Now, it really is just that simple. To get started. Plus, she's 18. If she'll invest the next year in herself, then no telling where she'll be. Well, it'll definitely be better than where the hell she's going right now.
You better believe it. I didn't start doing this stuff till I didn't start getting my. I didn't get my first certification in college. That one got me my first job. I kind of accepted what the elders were telling us back then, which was if you get a job, you know, you stay there, you play, you do your work, you know, you'll stay a long time. No, I didn't know in IT. 5 is flush in IT. Either you move on in 5, promote in 5, or get ready to be moved on in 5. They don't stay in IT very long. They move up. I played the old role that was taught by our older generation, which was, you know, you work till you're 55 in a big company and you do all right. They flushed me out first time, and I didn't get it. Then I started to realize, wait a minute, I got contracting firms. Okay, well, I get this contract work for this company. Did that, and then I started talking to other people. They said, oh, you should get certified in A, B, and C. You'll be fine. I know, I ain't worried about it. That contract ended successfully. I applied to one of the top 5 hospitals in the world to do hardware work. I had 5 years experience, 7 years experience, and I had a degree. You know what they told me? We can't hire you. You are overqualified, but we can't hire you. Why is that? Because this company doesn't hire anybody without an A+. Broke me in two. I said, that will never happen again. I took $100 I had in my hand. I went down to the bookstore. I picked up an A+ book. I picked up A+ flashcards. I went online to start looking at materials as far as practicing questions to get yourself prepared for what type of things you may have to respond back to and what things you need to be, how you need to be able to respond back. practice, practice, practice. Red, red, red. I had a family member that was sick at the time. I moved in with them temporarily. And at the time, when I wasn't taking care of them, when they were asleep, I was reading. 6 months later, sat for the exam, knocked it out. I said, oh, put it on my resume, put it out in the world. All of a sudden, everybody want to call again. I said, is this how the world works? That was around 2008. It's 2014. I'm 11 in. And I'm working on 12 now. Trust me, my phone, my voicemail fills up every week. And people know me, know not to fill up my voicemail because I'm easy to reach on cell phone. They have the house phone number. My voicemail fills up every week. Half of them don't even speak English. They speak broken English because they get consulting jobs to go ahead and find people to fill jobs over in India because you figure they'll get 10 to 15% on a contract consulting. So if they place you in a job for $100,000, let's say, and you work there 6 months, they get a $15,000 check. Now, $15,000 is a nice piece of money in America. Think about what it is in India. I say go. Go get certified, start the process, walk it, and run with it, and continue to run with it till you get to the top level you want to get to. I've seen the guys at the top level. I want to get to that level. I'm halfway there. I want to get there. These guys make $150,000 to $200,000 a year. They don't have to write nair report. They don't ever have to worry about writing nair a response. They don't have to do any meeting conducting. They don't have to manage anything. If they don't like what they're doing, they go home. Because they don't care what the company thinks, because at the end of the day, they can go somewhere else. That's
how many
a lot better solution than what they're talking.
How many black men's excuses are you open to hearing?
Because I've played black men before, and black women. I've done it before. I ain't hear no excuses. I don't want to hear any. I'll entertain them saying it, just so I can break them. What's the excuse? I don't have any money. I can't do it. Local library, dude. Next question. Well, I don't have transportation. Bus. Well, I ain't got to fight off the bus fare. You don't? Nope. Okay, let's take a ride. Where are we going? I'm going to get a cheeseburger. On the way back, I get 5 bus tokens here. Now what's your excuse? Well, I ain't got the money right now. You'll find me when you're ready. You'll find me when you're done. I don't deal with excuses. I deal with results. I deal with the effort to try and the person pushing through to success. Ain't ready to go there, and you just totally flat out just say, I'm not going to do it, I'll leave you alone. Because there's a radio host in my area who always has a saying that works really, that's really true. Wars were won on hungry bellies. I don't have to fight this battle myself with you trying to help you improve. Your stomach will fight for me. Because when you realize that your water bill went up 100% in the last 5 years, when you realize that your rent went up 25% in 1 year, and you realize that $14, $15 an hour don't hold you, let alone the kids you got on the way or the woman that you're trying to pursue, and she ain't even making that much, then you will come and find me, and I'll have the same response for you. There's the first book, Golf.
And that, brothers and sisters, is how black men are supposed to talk. Now, you all compare the way Marty just talked to the guy who claimed he was a producer. And tell me which one of them epitomizes leadership. Which one of them epitomizes solutions. And if you really have to seriously think it over, there's a problem with you. I'll let you have the last word.
Black first. I'll be happy to post up my picture when the next order of shirts come out because I'm in it.
What size do you wear?
I am in a 2X.
Yeah, they're there now.
Excellent.
We sold out of the mediums. We sold out of the caps. I got another order of caps. Should be here in just a couple of days, and sold out of the mediums. I need to get some more of those, but which I got a pretty good turnaround on my shirts and stuff. Except for medium, everything else is there. You can order tonight.
I put my order in on Saturday.
It'll be there.
Black first.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much as always. once he gets done talking to you, really, either you're going to get something done or you're going to get out the face. Simple as that. Caller from 336, you're on Live with the Black Channel.
Hey, what's up, Jason Black? This is James Matthews calling again.
And what's on your mind?
Hey, I'm the guy that, you remember our Facebook message about becoming like an architectural engineer? I wanted to ask you, like, how could it be possible for me to go back and get a trade and to go to the four-year university at the same time? Because I'm at community college. Because Dr. Umar was saying, like, black males really need a trade. Because right now, if you don't have a trade, then you're, like, basically ass out. Because the jobs out there is highly competitive. And it's just, like, you just need a trade basically to feed yourself and feed your family. Because those are jobs that are always in demand.
Okay. Are you already in school for engineering?
No, I'm at community college. I'm going to transfer to basically a sophomore right now. So when I transfer over my junior year, I'm going to go to HBCU because that's the only engineering program they offer in my state for my engineering. Yeah.
What state is that?
North Carolina. I know NC State has mechanical engineering stuff, but I want to do architectural.
I mean, engineering is perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with engineering.
But I was saying, since it's highly competitive and stuff, a lot of people.
It's also highly lucrative, too. I mean, engineering is fine.
Because I was looking at the job out.
If you said something like psychology, I'd be worried. But, no, engineering, accounting, computer sciences, you practically can't go wrong.
Because I told you I wanted to be an architect at first, and you were like, nobody, black architects don't tell like a lot of young, aspiring black architects the job market out there, how hard it is for architects. Because I looked up the average salary for an architect is like $30,000, but for an architectural engineer is like $50,000.
Yeah, that's my point. Once engineering comes into the equation, the situation changes. That was the point of saying that to you. Once we enter engineering into it, now we're dealing with something different.
Because I have a lot of ideas, but it's just like I don't know how to put it into practice. Because I don't want to sound like a dreamer, but I just want to have like my own firm, and I want to go back and like get a carpentry license to have my own construction business. Because I just like construction and buildings. I always liked that since I was little, so I think I have like a passion for that.
Passion is good. Money is better.
Gotcha.
But I mean, what Dr. Johnson said is what I've always said. But if you're going to go for an advanced degree, engineering, accounting, computer sciences, those are the big three right now.
Right now, gotcha.
So, I mean, I don't have a problem with it is the thing. I'm like, you could choose to do something different, but, I mean, I don't see why.
Gotcha.
But if you did
take
a trade, what did you want to take?
Carpentry, because I took a carpentry class back in high school.
Okay, carpentry is okay. Why would you not try to go for a computer certification? That would be closer to engineering than carpentry would. Black folks have a habit of trying to avoid subjects that require math, and that's not going to cut it. The reason that people who do advanced math get paid so much is because it's advanced math.
Gotcha. Because I didn't even know that. You said computer, what again? I didn't know that was a trade.
I mean, computer certification. Like you said, you can get A+. You can take your Microsoft certification. There's a number of those out there. I mean,
yeah, they have I know C++ at my community college and
well,
some other
computer. Microsoft certification is different.
Okay.
Just look into it. You'll see it because that's specifically dealing with Microsoft because they got Microsoft Server and a lot of, since most businesses today are using Microsoft software, they need people who can deal with the nuts and bolts of the software, not just navigating operating systems, but building and servers and things like that.
Gotcha. But that's the thing about it. If I choose, since I want to do both, do I have to, like, hold up for my four-year college and go to trade school or go to my four-year college and hold up, or I could do it simultaneously?
Why not?
Oh. I didn't even know that because I was talking to my advisor, and my advisor was like, it's going to be really tough and stuff, but he's like, I wouldn't advise that. I wouldn't advise that at all.
Now, you didn't ask me if it was going to be tough. You asked me, can I do it? I'm sure you can. Now, do I know if you're built for that kind of thing? I don't know. But Asian kids do it every day.
Gotcha.
But do I know if you're built for that? No, I don't know that. Can you do it? Sure you can. Will you do it? I don't know. That's going to be up to you. I know that you can do it.
Yes, sir. Because start my own, they said to start your own firm. I know engineering firm, you need at least like half a million. And I forgot the other things, too. You know, you need a license, too, definitely, your engineering license.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's. But once you get done with all that, at least it won't be a useless degree, but it's something to think about, engineering. Like I say, these are advanced math degrees, and it's going to be a different animal than carpentry.
Yeah.
But then again...
Because I know I have to take calculus, too, because I'm definitely going to have to take calculus when I go in either this fall, coming up fall semester or spring semester, but I'm definitely going to have to take calculus because I know that's a higher-level math that's required for me to transfer over.
That's very true, but and you'll have to incur that relatively soon. But at the same time, I mean, I'm glad you're thinking in the directions you're thinking. An engineering degree is not worthless, it's not useless, but it does take time to get it.
Yeah.
That's the only issue. It does take time to get one.
Because I know it takes 4 years to go to college. Then you have to get go to an internship, and they have to a licensed engineer. And also, it all depends how long it takes, depending on the person and how hard, how highly skilled they are. So that can take a long time. They had to go take the test, which can take a very long time, too. So, yeah. But I'm not scared, though.
Like I say, I mean, I would never try to discourage anybody from doing it because once you got it, you're set. And the only thing is you got to get it first. That's the only caveat that I would put to that. But
I'm just wondering.
You'll find out for yourself how broad your shoulders are.
Yes, sir. Well, I don't want to, because that's the thing about it. I don't want to just, I was kind of scared because I see all these people in debt and stuff. So I'm just trying to read as many financial books as possible so I won't be in as much debt. Because that's the thing that's scaring me right now.
The more valuable the degree, the more debt there will be. That's why Umar Johnson's best of us, we want you to keep your options open. Engineering, we need more engineers. God almighty, I'm never going to say we need fewer black engineers. That's like if somebody called me saying they want to go to law school. I'll be damned if I'm going to discourage it. It's expensive. Yes, it is. But we need more black lawyers. I don't give a damn what it costs. Go ask Ms. Pinnock getting her head busted in on that freeway if we need more lawyers.
Definitely.
Okay.
Because my cousin's a computer science major, and he was complaining about how it was just, like, mainly Asian and Indian kids. He's, like, looking around, like, because he feels kind of lonely. He's like, where are the other black kids at? He's like, they're always in, like, business lawyers and doctor degrees and stuff. But it's, like, with his math classes and his computer science classes, he's just, like, really lonely because, like, I'm just the only basically token black kid there. And that's the thing I kind of fear, too. But I still keep my head up.
The other thing that Marty said, though, is correct. You need to start looking into scholarships and things like that. Instead of worrying about the debt, you need to start looking at how you're going to manage it.
Yes,
but
sir.
More than anything, I want you to quit talking about it. Get to doing something, because you can sit here and mentally fret over it for the next decade and never actually do anything. We did a whole lot of talking. We never actually got anywhere, but we thought it over. I want you to get to a point where we stop talking and start doing.
Yes, sir. Yep. So, So basically just start looking for scholarships. So, like, what type of scholarships? Like, the NCAA type scholarship, engineering scholarships, and I think what's some other black organization scholarships? Is it UNCF or something?
I mean, there's a lot of them out there. You need to look them up. Yes, but more than anything, have a plan, man.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you're listening to a lot of advice. That's, I don't have a problem with that. But at some point, I need for you to move on beyond advice. At some point, you need to pick a direction and go in it. Right now, at least we're not discussing, irrelevant things or pointless things, okay? Nothing we're discussing right now is futile. But at this point, it's going to be up to you to decide which one you want to take.
Yes, sir.
One is longer and lucrative. The other one is shorter, not quite as lucrative. And it's more hands-on. With engineering, you know, you just not a lot of manual labor. Carpentry, it's all manual labor.
Yes, sir.
So,
you said look up, because I'm writing it down so I can go to my community college and stuff for registration. You said Microsoft programming?
No, certification. There are enough amounts that you'll have to decide which one you want. Because just like Marty was talking about, he went for a job and got told you don't have A+, so he went and got it. You know, he didn't have it. He was ready for a job, but he didn't have the certification that they needed and didn't even find out that that's what he needed until he got there. So you see what I mean? We can't just tell you, okay, get us when you'll be set, because it just depends on where you go. So, but what I will tell you is that you're going to want to start somewhere. So a Microsoft certification is good. A+ is good. Java is very good. Perl is great. Things like that.
Because I know, because I'm somewhat technologically savvy, but not really at the same time, because it's like my job, it includes that you have to be somewhat technologically understanding and stuff, because like to use Photoshop programs like that, Adobe, which is can be stressful at times. So I just need to get back on my computer skills, basically.
Well, you're going to want to start somewhere. Like I say, but in the next few weeks, though, choose one. I'm not too big on community colleges. I'm really not. But in any case, you know, you've narrowed it down. Indecision will kill you. Choose one. And then, whichever direction you choose, stay with it. So make sure choose when you feel. Make sure you feel, choose one you feel you can stay with.
Yes, sir.
So it'll be up to you to decide which one you want, but at least now you've narrowed it down to some things you can actually use.
Yes,
my
sir.
Only big knock against the engineering degree is that right now, with it being so long to get one, if your financial situation is not on point, that could prove to be very stressful.
Yeah. Because I'm going to have to, when I go to my community college for registration, I'm going to ask them the ins and outs of all three, carpentry, like how long does it take? I know probably I have to ask them for the Microsoft certification, A+, Java, and Perl that you said, how long does it take? Like, what does somebody typically make and stuff so I could be financially set for myself? Then I see which one is the best one for me.
And remember, Marty said that too when he went to go for his. He asked the instructor, how long, what will it take, what do I need? Those are all, that's doing your due diligence. So once you settle on what you want to do, what you just did just now, that's what you need to do with the instructor at your school or whoever is going to try to take care of matriculating you or whatever. You're going to want to discuss with what exactly do I need, what do I need to do, not what y'all want me to do, what do I need to do, and how long will it take? That's what you want to find out.
Yeah. Because I remember my English teacher was telling me that a lot of kids are going to college just basically for, like you were saying, the degree is not worthless, and people are telling them to do something that you love. But she's like, if you do something that you love and it doesn't make you money, you're going to be in debt and very unhappy for, like, the rest of your life. So she was like, do something that that you love and that makes you money.
Do something that you love, but if it doesn't make money, you're going to start hating it very quickly. But, brother, at this point, really, you've done enough looking around. It's time to make a choice.
Yeah, it could be very frightening at the time because I'm like, huh, what if I just, what if all this is just the wrong choice? That's the thing about it. It's really scary. And I'm like, looking, that's the thing about it. It's like really hard to find older black male engineers in my city. Because it's like a lot of them are mainly like in the political field, lawyers, doctors and stuff, but like mainly in the construction field and industry, it's like really hard to find them. Like the only black, older black males I see are like construction workers.
Then maybe it's time for you to be the first.
Yes, sir.
I'll let you have the last word.
Well, thank you for the words, words of wisdom, Jason, Black First Brother.
The time for talk is over, James. It's time to choose. Black men lose respect to black women in a lot of cases because they tend to be indecisive. And a woman is used to being indecisive. What she appreciates about men is that we are not. Leadership sometimes means blazing new trails. We can't give you something that you're 100% sure of. Why? Because this is all new to you. All of it. So by definition, you will not be comfortable in any of it. It's all new. This is where your manhood kicks in and you just say, all right, I'm going to show you how quickly I can learn this. Maybe I won't get comfortable quickly, but I'll show you how I'm going to learn it quickly, and the comfort will come from that. I didn't start off comfortable, but I'll show you how quick I can get comfortable. There is nothing constructed or made by the hands or the mind of man that you cannot master. Nothing. And you remember that for the rest of your life. There is nothing going on in those rooms at any of those colleges or universities that you cannot master. Nothing. Not a single thing. There's one class that I have never seen anywhere at any college or university on earth, and that's the only one that I know you can't master. It's called walking on water. Now, if you see that one, okay, you're probably going to have problems. Everything else, you can do it. Now, go show them you can do it. Well?
How?
Jane?
Yes, Jason? Oh, yes, sir. Sorry about that.
What you still sitting on the phone for?
Oh, my bad. I thought you unmuted me.
No, I did not. I'm saying I want you to go do it.
Yes, sir.
Why are you still sitting here?
Oh, you want me to hang up?
Yes, how else are you going to go do it?
Oh, sorry about that.
Now go do it. Kids, caller from 314, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, Mr. Host. How are you tonight? I was listening to your conversation. I'm calling from the Midwest.
From the
name here is Pion.
What state are you in?
Pardon me?
What state are you in?
Missouri.
Calling from
right
Missouri.
Now.
The name is Pionki.
Yeah, I was listening to the conversation. And I was trying to understand what you was talking about when you said that black men must lead. But I really enjoyed the conversation of the, especially the last one, where you mentioned about the where the young man was considering what it is that he wanted to do and be. And he mentioned becoming a carpenter. If he was going to become a carpenter, the best way to enter that field would be through the construction trades, getting in the union and going through the apprenticeship.
That's
and
true,
working.
But if you are unable to do that, or if you live in a place where the illegals run the yard, it might not be an option, especially if you've never had any construction experience. It's hard to get into the construction field nowadays in most places.
Well, yeah, I guess you can say in most places. Yeah. I spent almost four decades in it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the myself. Problem
right there. That is the problem, right? Is that you're in the state of Missouri. You did not have to compete against a bunch of illegals. It was just you and the white folk, and that was it. Today, in the last 15 years, because I used to do construction, and in the last 15 years, whole new ball game. The illegals run the yard. Young black men are the absolute last considered. I wouldn't ever tell any young black man today to think that there's a construction job waiting for him. He might get one, but dude, your generation is the last one that could say, I'll go get a construction job and walk out the door and go get it. Today, forget about it.
Well, in commercial construction, you don't see them illegals. Now, in housing, building, and so forth like that, I guess you do. But,
yeah, but
what construction industry?
You talk about
what trade were you in?
I worked building hotels.
Yeah, well, I was a structure steel erector.
Okay, I worked building hotels, and we had plenty of in Louisiana. We had plenty of illegals. Yeah, you're Missouri, so maybe you were a little more inland, and maybe it was less of an issue. Brother, Missouri ain't got no less of a problem with the illegals than anywhere else, including commercial. There's no less of it there. Just where
well,
you
Well, no,
at,
they're not. They're not. You don't have. Path. You don't have illegals. You don't have illegal immigrants working in commercial structures on your office buildings, your buildings and bridges and so forth. You don't find them there. You have to have. You have to be union in order to work on those jobs.
On some of them, you do. On some of them, brother, don't.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't look at architects myself as architects. There's quite a few of them. Now you know, I spent I was almost four decades in commercial construction, and part of that on my own steel erection firm, erecting office buildings and bridges and so forth. But civil engineers and engineer, the gentleman said there wasn't any engineers that he could contact in the state that he was in. I think he said it was in North Carolina. Well, he should try contacting the National Society of Black Engineers. And matter of fact, I believe they're located out of, their headquarters is out of North Carolina. And African Americans that's pursuing engineering degrees, that's a member of that organization. Find all sorts of opportunities, support, scholarship information, and so on and so on and so on. And you know, you was mentioned, there's another outlet, the Business Insider published a list of 40 occupations that don't require a degree. Everything all the way up to airport controllers.
Yeah, but here at the Black Channel, we don't focus on jobs. The problem with the civil rights generation is they put everybody, all the generations after them, in a trick bag by focusing on jobs. What we focus on here and what James was calling me for is that we focus on things that you can turn or parlay into a business. An air traffic controller working for Boeing, you know, working construction, you can't really parlay most of those parts into your own business. If you do one where most of that you can't. In construction, being a contractor is very difficult, but we focus on things more that you can turn to a business. Carpentry, yeah. Engineering, yes. Some of those other things, not so much. But yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of jobs out there. The problem is that those are a trick bag now. You can get in, but can you get out? Can you make
well, those who
as your cost of living increases, can you make your employer keep up with the cost of living?
Well, you know, you was mentioning the construction. That's the best place to learn how to become your own contractor is working in the field. You can't go to...
If you can get a job in the field. If you can get it.
Well, yeah, you have to have a, get a, you have to obtain a job in the field in order to...
Black
be able to learn the trade.
The black male unemployment rate in St. Louis tells us everything we need to know about construction in Missouri. Yeah.
Now, you know, another point, too.
You're remembering a construction field that no longer exists. It was good 40 years ago. Brother, 40 years ago, Carter was in office. I'm sorry, Nixon. It's a whole different world out there, man. It's a whole different world.
Well, what's promising is probably the rebuilding of the infrastructure. Here in this area, we have highway work. We have bridges that's going to just complete a bridge. You got people that's working, contractors being led on light rail, or should I say fast rail, that's going from St. Louis to Chicago.
You know how much construction got going in Louisiana?
How much?
None.
Yeah.
Know how much infrastructure construction we got going on here? None. You want to know how much infrastructure construction we got going in Arkansas? None. Brother, like I say, you can cherry pick. They got light rails going for Chicago. They're working on one in California. They're working on one in Colorado. But number one, black men are not picking up no whole bunch of jobs from that. And even if they could, how long will they be there? When your light rail is finished being constructed, then what? Next problem, can you pass that job on to your children?
Well, that's a good point.
I'm not saying what you're saying is not happening. It is happening in some
places.
Well,
it's not happening as good as it was, say, back in the 90s.
Yeah. The problem that we're having is that we are having to compete against a job market that does not want us. Brother, all I can say is do yourself a favor, okay? Do yourself a favor and just go visit one of these job fairs. They got that construction going on. Go check and see how many white boys they got down there applying for those jobs now. Forget the illegals. Take a look at how many white dudes over the age of 40 are applying for those jobs now. It's rough out there, man. It's rough out there. Do yourself a favor and go talk to some of these young black men out there and ask them.
Where are you at? You down in Louisiana?
No. What'd you say?
My grandson is – I thought you said you was in Louisiana. My grandson is getting ready to attend Louisiana State.
Okay, which one?
The one there. We're in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
He's majoring in gas and petroleum engineering with a business minor.
Well, that's good. That's a good start. That's a good start because what we really need to do is work on things that are unassailable. We got to start mastering things that are unassailable. And I don't have a problem with carpentry. That's fine. What you're saying, all those things are – everything you said is actually a good suggestion. I don't have a problem with it. The only issue I got is that it's a lot harder now to make that a viable thing because even in Shreveport, I could not tell a young black male where to go today to get a job in construction. I couldn't tell him. New Orleans, take a look at the black male unemployment rate. We can't tell them where to go. It's a great idea if we can get them in. If we can get them in.
Well, I tell you one field that's in high demand. That's in the medical field, X-ray technicians, people that's involved in providing medical service, and even nursing.
You're correct. Those are all great things, but an X-ray tech cannot become self-employed.
Well, everybody's not going to become self-employed. It's
but
being
we need
a business
everybody.
Owner.
Need everybody to become one, brother, because they are – black people are the only people who do not have an economy. It is because we don't have an economy that we have to talk about construction firms that won't hire us.
Well, I agree with you that blacks need to own their own business more so than they do not. But
right now, we're America's We are an obsolete workforce. We're obsolete. We're trying to talk about being working in hospitals and working construction and working at casinos, and they're trying to bring damn illegals over here, non-citizens. That why are you bringing so many non-citizens over here? You can only be aiming them at us, and that's the goal. So we have to, the only way we can fight, they own their businesses, and they're saying bring over the illegals so we ain't got to hire these niggers. So how do we protect ourselves from that? Because everybody's trying to do it.
Well, you got to be able to hire your own. You need to control your own economic markets.
Yeah.
Rather than letting others come in and control it. And gas marks, and school lunch programs, school the lunches that your children participate in, where they subsidize. Even agriculture with your food stamps that's being spent in grocery stores that your own people don't own.
That's very good. Did you all know that Domino's Pizza has a contract to provide pizza to public schools? Did you all know that? Look it
up. Bet y'all.
Everybody out there, don't believe me. Look it up for yourselves. Domino's Pizza has a contract to provide pizzas to public schools.
Well, guess who supplies the lunches for your Title I lunch programs? It's a Sodexo out of France and Aramac out of the UK. That's a slap in the face.
Yeah, and what that does is that already locks up, I mean, as a black person, where you going to get in? Your kids can go to school, but you can't make no money off of it.
Unless your board decided else otherwise.
Ah, there's a good idea. We got all these black city councils and black school boards, and yet they bow to white people.
And you know another thing, too. This thing about letting your children decide what they want to be is kind of, at this point in stage, it's kind of self-discerning. Your children should be steered into those high-paying fields. And as I said before, they need to have a business minor that goes along with that so that they would understand business as well as they understand the major.
I don't know if you heard the first phone call. It's from an 18-year-old girl named Kenya. And I flat out told her, you're in school for graphic design. That's a worst degree. Get out and get computer science. I'm a firm believer that black folk need to do like the Japanese did, and Dr. John Henry Clark said it so well. After World War II, the Japanese simply told their children and told them what studies you're going to take. They told them that you're going to take mechanical engineering, sciences, math. They told them you're going to take these things. They didn't ask them. They told them.
Indians done the same thing with IT. Look at all the IT schools that they created in India.
Back in the 1980s, India created the single most aggressive computer science program in the world, and they made it mandatory that children in Indian schools had to be taking computer science, and they backed it all the way up to third grade.
And another thing, too, these advanced degree professions, we should have schools where that's starting to be taught from the sixth grade on, start acclimating them toward those particular areas. You know, there's education and skills are two different things. Your education tells you what to do with the skills, like you was talking about previously. We need to have, you know, Omar Johnson was talking about starting a school, but there's already many black schools that are nowhere near like it used to be. But many of them done very excellent in the academics, but they didn't have any economic components to them.
I don't know much
about computers.
What he wants to do is he wants to start a school. And I talked to Omar Johnson for 7 a.m., our documentary. And he specifically mentioned that when they come to his school, he wants them to be taught how to be self-sufficient, how to learn business science, and how to learn business management, as kids, I mean, he wants to make that major point because we live in a world that runs on money, and we have the only children who do not know how to generate their own.
Well, you know, you were talking earlier about computer language, something that I don't know nothing about. But why come that's not taught in the middle school before they get to high school, and even throughout high school?
That is because as schools have – computers cost money, and as schools – state legislatures, when they start cutting their budgets nowadays, what's the first thing they aim for? What do they control completely? The schools. So you'll notice that your music classes have been eviscerated. They've been stripped clean. Your band classes have been stripped clean. Stripped bare. Take a look at California. Governor is at Jerry Brown now. He's back again. Was the first thing he did when he became governor this last time around a couple years ago. First thing he did, start talking about they're going to cut the school budgets. Well, what do you think is going to happen first? Well, we can't buy new computers. Why? They cut the budget. We can't buy new bandwidth.
Well,
why? They cut the budget.
That always happened in the public schools. That's why I'm a person who's for full choice, where parents can have the money to take the child where they best think that they are needed to be.
I think so.
I've seen public schools where they didn't have no metal detectors. This is in Kansas City, Missouri. No metal detectors in the school building. This was 2 years ago. The school building ranked in the top six in the state of Missouri in academic performance, and they still closed the school. So until you have the ability to build your own schools, which we do have, and as I said before, there's a lot of them that's operating very well academically, but they need to have those economic components, and until you're able to support them dollar-wise, you can't have teachers there that's teaching and on welfare at the same time, collecting food stamps and trying to be paid by cash. That ain't going to work. You have to be able to support those schools.
Here's the problem, though. You cannot get school boards to do your bidding when you have no economy. See, we're expecting as black folk to have no money, no resources, no businesses, but we're going to get the school boards to do what we want. It doesn't work that way. White folk understand that. We don't. Asians understand it. We don't. If you cannot pay for your politicians, you can't get them to do your bidding. You can't get them to do anything. They're going to keep doing what you said, perfectly fine school and shutting it down. Why? Because somebody with more money told them to do it. Or that
you don't have no business. You don't have no business. You ain't going to be able to pay your politicians.
Exactly.
Somebody else is going to buy them out. All blacks do is vote.
If you have no economy, you have nothing to come to the political process with. I get into this in 7 a.m. because I talked to the godfather of black economics, Dr. Claude Anderson. And like I say, it helped to articulate so much for me. Politics, what is politics? Politics is the system by which we divide a society's resources. And the chief resource is money. But if you are the people in that society who have no money, guess what politics is going to do for you?
It's going to do nothing. And if your politics is no good, your police is not going to be any good. If you don't have any business, you can't control media, whether it's print or TV, because they depend on ad dollars. And if you can't threaten them when something is negative told or published about you, they're going to continue to do it.
Dead right.
And, of course, the last thing is education.
Well, that's the five-story structure that Dr. Anderson talks about. The five-story structure, he says society is a five-story structure. The bottom structure, the foundation, is the economy. And above that is your court system, your politicians, your media, and your education systems. But if you don't have the economy, you can't control any of those things. All you can do is be a bystander.
Can't control none of them. Well, that is annoying very well. But anyway, I'm going to let you get on to your next caller. Somebody may be able to add something and talk on a subject that I don't know nothing about. I really enjoyed the conversation about the computer languages, something I don't know anything about, but that one young man sounded like he was very astute in it. And he did what he had to do in order to prepare himself, whereas he can compete.
Well, that's what it's about in the 21st century, because the illegals are coming across the border with skills. They're coming across the border with a trade. They're coming across the border with carpentry, plumbing, electrician, car repair. They're coming across the border with that and going head-to-head with our kids who they ain't even got a computer in their middle school or their high school. Unfair
All
fight,
right.
man.
All
Thank
right.
you very much for giving us a call. Please
I'll
call
talk
us back.
To you.
Brothers and sisters, this is the environment that we're up against. It is not a joke. Caller from 910, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black First CBA, this is Stephanie.
What's on your mind, Stephanie?
I went to Connecticut, like maybe this past weekend, and I was talking with a cousin I didn't know I had. and he was telling me, they're twins, and they were, you know, he was basically saying that he was in real estate. He was, one twin was in commercial, and then he was in personal. And he went on to say that, you know, he enjoyed the home aspect because you can be more creative with financing, which was a little bit odd to me. But then he was saying, you know, about picking partners and whatnot. And he was like, you need to make sure that your partner is financially, you know, like he is financially there or is good with his finances, and you don't want somebody to be too controlling. And so it just, I mean, I wanted to ask him more, but given where we were, I necessarily couldn't. So I was hoping maybe you could help me with that as far as, I mean, do you just have your potential partner just whip out their financial statements and be like, oh, or no?
Okay, now, this was a guy talking to you?
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that you want your partner to be what exactly?
Like, you don't want somebody that's just going to squander money, and you don't want someone who's going to be, like, trying to control, like, everything.
Okay, now, was he suggesting that for you, or was he saying it in general?
I think he was just saying it in general.
Okay, because as a man, I don't look to my woman to squander or whatever. If she's a fool with money, she's not going to be my woman in the first place. You heard?
I heard.
Yeah. She's not going to be my woman in the first place if she's not already good with money. And if she's good with money and she goes bad, she's going to be gone. So that's a requisite before that. You need that just to get a conversation started. You need that just to get consideration. So what he's saying is the basics you need just to get a conversation with me. That's just
no.
The basics.
I'm talking about like as a partnership. Because I mean, he was my cousin. I mean, I'm not sure.
Are you talking about like a business partnership, not a personal partnership?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. Because he also went in. He also went to the whole thing about you know, asking if I was married or whatnot, and he was like, it's the same with business and your relationship, like, and well, he won't, but I'm asking about the real estate part, so go ahead.
Okay, I mean, everything in business, though, is a matter of conjecture to a certain degree. It's going to be a matter of what you've got to offer and what they've got to offer. You see, a person can be a fool with their money, but they may also have a good idea. So that gives you the opportunity to step in. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Give an example here. Now, let's just say, for example, Stephanie is selling Black First shirts, but Stephanie blows all her damn money on purses. Black First shirts are selling pretty good. Well, I need to step in over here. Stephanie, you a fool with money.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But you know what? I want to go into business with you.
Oh, that's great.
And I'll take 80% ownership. And you can take that 20% and go keep buying shoes and purses. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Your decision to invest is not predicated on them. Your decision to invest is predicated upon what they bring to the table and you bring to the table. Now, that does not mean that you go grab a business that's got a bunch of debt because they're a fool. If they are a fool, you only invest if you can remove their ability to continue harming the business. See what I mean?
So minimizing the risk.
Yeah. I mean, because they might be brilliant with money. Then again, they may be a fool with money. But if the business is brilliant, I got to get that business out from up under him. So I will invest, but only if I can remove his liability to the business. He is a liability. If I can remove that, let's go. If I can't, keep moving. So there's things you have to ask yourself. It's all about risk benefit. Can I mitigate these risks? If I can, let's do it. If I can't, let him go under. Now, if it's going to be somebody who's going to run the business, and if I can't move him, then he needs to be smart about the business, about his money, about everything. He needs to be smart about that. If he's not, he's probably not the right partner for me. But then again, I don't do partnerships. So as a rule, I just don't.
Yeah, but starting off, wouldn't it be kind of a good idea to do partnerships or no?
I don't do partnerships at all. I just don't. Too much trouble.
Why, because it's that whole X factor thing? Like you don't know what the other person's going to do? Or
I like to be able to call the shots on things. If I see stupid things, I like to have the ability to correct them. And when you're a partner, you don't have that power. So I'm not saying don't. What I'm saying is be prepared. I would want a situation where it was like Vince McMahon, that I got something and other people can invest, but you don't make any decisions. You can invest, but that's all you can do. You don't get to tell me how to make my decisions. I've been there and done that a bunch of times. Then again, I'm in my late 30s, and this isn't my first rodeo. For your first business, though, I don't think it's a big problem, but if you are going to go into a situation where you cannot make decisions, make sure it's somebody who has more a lot more knowledge and a lot more money than you. That makes sense to submit to someone like that. If you're both equals, this is a falling out waiting to happen.
If we're equal as far as money-wise or intellectual, I mean, as far as knowing what we're doing-wise, or both.
Do you ever notice how every band in music eventually breaks up?
Mm-hmm.
It's always the same reason, creative differences. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
What makes you think your life's going to be any different? Everybody, especially when a business is successful, once a business is successful, everybody thinks that they were the ones who did it. Was the one who made this successful. Well, guess what? Your partner says the same thing. I'm the brains behind the operation. Now, what's Stephanie going to do? Lord forbid you got three, y'all. All three of you are saying, no, it was me. Damn you, heifer, it was me. Scrawny wench, it was me. And here we go. Now, what are you going to do about that? Now, that's what will most likely happen if you're successful. Forget failure. If everything goes right, eventually somebody's going to decide, I'm the brains behind this. You all should be thanking me. And now there's three of us, but I should be getting 60%. Now what?
Wow. Never thought of it like that.
Microsoft is owned by who? shareholders right now, but it started by Bill Gates. Apple was started by Steve Jobs and Wozniak. Steve got rid of Wozniak. Then when Apple started hitting it big, the CEO that he brought in got the board of directors to gang up on Steve Jobs, and they got rid of Steve. Brought him back like 20 years later, but then they got rid of Steve. So even in the biggest companies, you can't really point to a bunch of examples of a bunch of partners who got together and stuck together through the long haul. You can't really even show us that. So what I'm saying is that for a first time, you can do it, but it has to be a specific set of, for me, it would have to be a specific set of circumstances. Like, for example, if I had somebody like Dr. Claude Anderson, yeah, I'd do that. If you're going into the filmmaking business and you had somebody like Tariq Nasheed, okay, I can see that. Make sure everything's spelled out in black and white on paper, but okay, entering that makes sense. This is a guy who's got more knowledge and more expertise in the subject than you do. Okay, entering it makes sense. If there is a disagreement, we'll probably wind up deferring to him, because he's got more knowledge and experience. Now, if we're all equal, that's different. That's why I don't do partnerships. I just try to be the guy who's got the knowledge and experience. And if I don't have the knowledge and experience, I try to make sure I got the money. But I just have not had a bunch of good experiences with partners.
Do you think that's part of the reason why most businesses fail within the short amount of time?
Most businesses fail because they're undercapitalized. They didn't bring enough money. They brought enough money to open the doors. They did not bring enough money to keep them open until they were profitable. Buying a building and buying some equipment is easy. Keeping the lights on that 3 years after that, even though you had no customers, that's hard. Oh, yeah, making sure you had enough money to market and promote and buy advertising to bring customers in. But see, we didn't figure in those budgets. We just got, they told us the building was $150,000 and the equipment was $100,000. We got $250,000. We said, okay, ready to go. And you're not.
So what would be, like, I guess, a reality before you even go into it, besides the money thing, as far as knowing if you're ready or not?
Do not go into a business that you do not understand. I've told you all this since y'all got to me. Do not go into a business that you don't understand. If you don't understand it, you will fail.
So how do you know if you've gotten to the point where you understand it? Do you just go to like a conference and then just talk to people, and if you can answer questions and everything, do you know you got it? Or, because, you know, a lot of people will be like, I think I got this kind of thing, and then they just jump into it.
Proof of concept. Y'all have heard me use all these terms recently.
Yeah.
Okay, don't start anything you don't understand. Well, how do I know I understand it? Proof of concept. Can you show us what you want to go into business with on a micro version? I want to go into real estate. Do you want to flip houses or do you want to rent them? I want to flip them. How many houses have you flipped? Well, I saw a $300,000 house and I figured I could get $1 million out of it, but I got $300,000. Well, okay, but can you buy a $10,000 one and flip it for $20,000? Because Stephanie, if you can't flip a $10,000 house for a profit, we'd be a damn fool to think you can flip a $100,000 house for a profit. And you'd be one, too. Starting to get it now?
Yes.
See, that's where black folks fail, is that they don't want to do a proof of concept. They just want somebody to give them what the white guys have got. The white guys come from a culture and a legacy of power, wealth, and influence. You ain't got that. You got to build it. But you will know when you're ready to go into business because you've been able to do it at a smaller level. Spike Lee put out She's Got a Habit. Wasn't the greatest thing, but it showed he can make a movie. It showed he can make some money. Next up, Do the Right Thing. And we all know the rest is history. Same thing with NWA. They sold, what, 150,000 copies out the trunk of Easy's car. At that point, Jerry Hell knew, hell, they already got the pieces in place. All I got is to put some money behind it and promote it. That's it. Your proof of concept. That's it. If you can make it work on a small level, you're ready to move on to bigger numbers because ultimately all you're doing is increasing the scale is all you're doing. I flipped a $10,000 house. Okay, let's bump that up to $25,000. Okay, I flipped a $25,000 house. All right, I need more money from the banks, but I'm in a better position now. Now let's go get a $50,000. You've noticed that it's still the same game. All we've done is up the scale of it. We just magnified the scale, but it's the same thing you did with the $10,000 one. Exact same thing, no difference. We're just dealing with more zeros now. But that's all.
Okay. All right, now as a female, do you think it'll be a difference in treatment or... I mean, as far as dealing with others in business and...
Sure. It'll be a lot easier.
You think it'll be easier?
I don't think it will. Oh. That's why I didn't say I think. It will be easier. As a female, they don't expect you to know anything. And that's
so
how
would that be easier? Would they not take advantage or try to take advantage?
They'll take advantage.
They would assume I don't know.
Yes. Business is war. Remember my video from Umar Johnson, The Art of War. Economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. You're not approaching it that way.
Hmm.
War and money go hand in hand, babe. When I sit down at the table with anybody, it's straight warfare. It's straight warfare. Think of it like a boxing match, okay? Does Roy Jones Jr. hate Bernard Hopkins? No. But what's he going to do when he gets in that ring? Definitely.
Try to beat the brakes out of them.
Okay. Why?
Because that's what he's there to do. People want to see a fight, so.
He's there to keep that belt around his waist. Okay, y'all, I know Floyd ain't got it, but still. I mean, not Floyd. I'm talking about, I know Roy Jones Jr. don't have it, but Floyd Mayweather. Is he mad at Cortez? Angry with none of them. He wasn't able to put that fight together with Pacquiao. He doesn't hate Pacquiao. He don't know him well enough to hate him. He's just a guy. Hell, when the last time they've been in the same room together? It's not about hate. This is business. And the way that I win this business contract is by knocking these knuckles upside your head, like Mike Tyson said. I'm not in the nice guy business. I'm in the people hurting business. And business is about to pick up. It's just the way it is. Baby, when you sit down at the table with me, let me tell you, I stopped bringing my girlfriends on business trips a long time ago because they didn't like seeing it. The way I talk to people on this phone is the way I talk doing business. Donald Trump, same thing. Vince McMahon, same thing. And even for the guys that you think are nice guys, there are, Steve Jobs was ruthless. You should hear some of his business stuff. He was ruthless when it came to negotiations. That fellow was cutthroat. And every other CEO I've ever dealt with was the same way. It's not a coincidence, kid. It's not a coincidence. That is just business. When I sit down at a table, these are not my friends. This is a business arrangement. This is how I make my money. My electric bill is not negotiable. You know what that means? My profits at this table are not negotiable. Black people need to understand that. We got all the wrong ideas about what you're supposed to be doing when you go into a business situation. We got all the wrong ideas, and we're getting the brakes knocked off of us. That's not going to work in the 21st century. We want to act a fool with each other, but when there's money to be made, all of a sudden, that's a problem. Understand that when I sit down at this table, I ain't got no friends in here. I don't hate them. I don't hate none of them. But it's not about me hating them. My job is to walk away from this table with the best I can. Had one time there was a property that I was supposed to be buying. I sat up here, the woman who owned the property, let me tell you right out, I just straight bullied. Can I just be honest about that? Bullied. Now, I'm not a pipsqueak, okay? I got a pretty broad set of shoulders on me. And that little lady, I was just sitting there, and I just kept wrapping the money in my hands. And I was like, now, you need to drop this property off. It's not like you can keep it. Look at how many bills you got already. No, I'm not paying what you offer. I'm not paying that. We paying this. We paying this. I see why folk don't want to fool with you now. Why you going into foreclosure right here, what you doing right now. This is it right here. Guess what? I got the price I wanted. Then it was time to go off and go fight with her banker. Guess what? They were a little bit harder to deal with. But by then I had the paperwork in hand, so they were a little bit harder to deal with. But in any case, I let them know, I'm not the little old lady that you all got this big-ass mortgage from, okay? I'm not her. You going to take what I give you, because the property really ain't worth what I'm offering you now. You going to take this. No, you're not doing me any favors. You pay, you take this, or I'm walking. That's it. How many houses have you dealt with? Oh, good. You want a cookie? She's ready to sell. She's ready to give up her rights. You're in the way. I don't have to be nice to you. She signed it. Now, what's it going to be? And guess what? I got the price I wanted. Now, do I do that all the time? Of course not. Don't be silly or insane. Do I do that even most of the time? No. I usually do some subtler version of it. But you all have heard me for years. The price is the price. These are not my friends. These are not my buddies. These are not my pals. Because when they want their money out of me, do they even give you a phone call? You get a letter that says you late. and then you get another one that tells you what they're going to do to you if you're late again. And I guess the females like it because they're like, he's just so smooth, he's just so fluid with it. I didn't come here to lose. These are not my friends. These are not my pals. These are not my buddies. They're not going to be my friends when I leave out of here. I hope that I have a good business relationship with them. But even if I sleep with one of them bankers, that's not going to change what I expect to be on this paper. Now, with your husband, he might be able to make your toes curl and change some things how you feel about around the house. But I never walked into anything where the sex was so good or potentially so good that I was willing to lose money over it. I can't think of a circumstance under which that could occur. And I live my life that way. I've had some times that I was sorry that I didn't make money. I've never had a time that I was sorry I didn't get sex out of somebody. Never. Mona Lachey, am I making this up?
No, you're not. You basically took the words out of my mouth in regards to a woman being in business. You absolutely have to, first of all, you have to know why you're in business. And like you said, you're in it to win. And you have to be ruthless. You have to take the emotions out of it. And you have to be on top of your game. You absolutely have to know what you're talking about, because they're going to try to play on your emotions as a woman, and they're going to think that you don't know what you're talking about. So yeah, this is how I keep my roof over my head. This is my livelihood, like you said. The mortgage doesn't wait. The electricity doesn't wait. I'm not here to be bamboozled. I am here to run a business. So it's my way or no way. And I think as women, we try to be soft because, you know, we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, or we don't know if we're hurting somebody's feelings. It's not about feelings. It's about winning, and it's about getting that money and keeping that business open. And people are not going to like how you operate, but you can't please everybody. And by staying business and about taking the emotions out of it, you will gain that respect. That I am a force to be reckoned with. I am a business owner. I am here to make money, and I am here to win. And I will not let anything stand in my way. And you're going to be called a few choice words, but, you know, so what? You have to handle that business.
As a woman, and like, a person underestimating you is one of the best things you can have.
Yes.
Because now you got the advantage. He's not even going to see this coming. And he's going to be waiting for that moment where he can knuckle you under, and it never happens. Women can do it. They just choose not to. You all either come off too weak or you come off stupid. And women need to just be smart. I think Hillary Clinton is a great example of that. Oprah Winfrey is another great example of that. That's why they've both been so successful. They're nice, they're congenial, but you can tell when you sit down at the table with them, they're nobody's fool. And as a female, you need to be the same way. Men underestimating you works to your favor. As a guy, they don't underestimate me. I guess there's just something about the look in my eyes, I guess. I've heard that so many years, I don't even ask about it anymore. I just need to start wearing sunshades, I guess. But as a female, they'll never even see it coming. Especially if you got a little figure on you like Stephanie does. I would use that in a heartbeat. While he's so distracted watching the curves, I'm watching the damn dollar signs. Right, you keep staring at my collarbone. You keep doing that. Because I got my mind squarely in the game, and you're watching the cheerleaders, and that's right where I want you to be. I'm not dirty about it. This is the way the game is played, buddy. You keep watching bra straps you can't never get. I'll keep my eyes on these dollars.
Absolutely. And you have to be willing to walk away from the table when you are in negotiations and you have set a price and they are trying to, you know, Jew you down or, you know, get a little discount, you need to get up from that chair and walk away. And I think that women don't do that. They feel that this is my last big chance or this money is going to get away, but we have to also understand all money is not good money. And when somebody is trying to belittle what you're doing, that's not good business. They need to go. Because if you let them get away with it once, they're going to come again, and they're going to come with a lower price because they think they have you. So you let that person go somewhere else and do that dirty business.
The problem with women in business is they usually go into situations not knowing exactly what they're getting into. It's like when they buy cars. Car salesmen are very famous for this. When they sell cars to a man, what do? They open up the hood. When they sell cars to a woman, what do? They let her sit down inside and play with the damn seat rest and the mirrors. When they sell to a man, they let him know what the performance of the car is going to do. When they sell to a woman, they say, see how pretty it is. Why, you can put your makeup and your cups over here and plug up your iPhone. A man will be done beat your ass talking about paying $50,000 for a car, and here you can plug up your iPhone. Here's where you can see yourself in the mirror. But females go for that, and that's why y'all get your asses handed to you in business. You need to be about the numbers. You need to be about the numbers. And women, as a rule, generally don't do that. They get easily distracted. But that works in your favor. Because if you're not easily distracted, if you know what the hell you're getting into as far as whether it's real estate, cosmetology, or whatever, they're going to come at you with the nonsense. Now you're ready for it. He's not ready for how smart you are, but you are ready for how dumb he thinks you are. And by virtue, he's not going to be on his game because he is already expecting and anticipating that you are not on his level. So your job is to make sure you know your business so that he can't pull that on you. Now remember what I told y'all before about, you know, buying cars. And I know it because I've done it. Had a guy call in to have no credit, no money. Whenever you buy a car, whenever you buy something that's worth something, you're going to bring some credit or some money. Get the hell out of here. Never will forget one of the first vehicles that I bought. My credit was upside down. The car was $8,000. And I wanted that car. I went to the dealership, and they would finance it, but I knew if he pulled my credit report, I knew there was no way this was going to happen. So what did I do? I walked in there. I told him, I'm here about that big machine out front. Okay, come back here in my office. Redneck part of town, too, by the way. Sat down at the table. He's like, all right, what can I do for you? I whipped out a bank bag, and I just started counting money. I just started counting $100 bills. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2. And I just kept counting. And he was like, can I help you? I never even acknowledged him while he was talking. I just kept counting. Hello? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1500. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1600. 1, 2. Sir? When I got up to 2200, he wasn't talking anymore. I got up to 3100, and I said, I want the expedition out there. He spun around in his chair, yanked some forms off the desk behind, off the bookcase behind him, and said, sign here, flip it over, sign here. This is the insurance form in case you get totaled out on the way home. Sign here. Now, why did I do that? Because I didn't have credit, but I know the car dealer business. And on a used car, they sell the cars, typically the value of the price of the car, typically they sell the car for 2 to 3 times what they paid at auction. So if the price of that vehicle was $6,000 or $8,000, then I already know that he spent $2,000 to $3,000 at auction. So what does that mean that I gave him? That means that I have already reimbursed him for the cost of that vehicle at auction. He's not, even if I walk out of there and don't pay nothing and he's got to repossess it, he didn't lose nothing. Because I've already reimbursed him for auction. At that point, he would be silly to let me walk out the door. Now, he did hit me with a sky-high-ass interest rate. But my point is, I left with the car. Most of you don't know that about used car dealers because you don't know the actual price point at which they paid for it. So you don't know how to negotiate. Remember what I said about knowing your business. But then again, common sense should tell y'all that about your car prices or any other price on something. Common sense should tell you that. But most people do not know their business well enough to walk in and negotiate with somebody else. No wonder you're scared.
You're absolutely correct. I have a similar story. Took my best friend one time, I think it was like 2003, and she wanted a Sentra. We had $4,000 cash. Yeah, her credit was tore up. And we walked in and we said, this is what we want. And, you know, I thought she knew, you know, what we came here to do. So I went to the restroom. When I came out the restroom, they had her driving a 1999 Dodge Neon. So I came out the office. I said, what are you doing? Well, he said that I should get this first and then try to get the Nissan later. I said, let's go. She was like, what? I said, let's go. So once they heard, I said, let's go. Because either you're going to take this $4,000, like you say, if I don't ever pay a payment, you got this $4,000. And we walked out of that car dealership with that 2003 Nissan Sentra. And like you said, her interest rate was a little bit higher, but we got what we came to get. Yeah. Cash
Most
speaks.
Black
and
people fail at these things, and especially women fail at these things, because like Mona said, they either go in too scared or too stupid. If a woman is not scared and not dumb, there's no reason she's going to lose. Take a look at Meg Whitman. You're not going to lose if you don't go in stupid and scared. But most men are going to expect you to be one or the other. And if you're a female and you're not hard on the eyes, you're going to win. Take a look at Beyonce. Say what you will. She's not stupid. She's not dumb. She got rid of her daddy as her manager, and she's still flying high. That's a stupid woman. You walk in there, and you sit down with her and whatnot, and pretty as she wants to be, but she's not dumb, people. She's not dumb. And she's not scared of you either. And she's been like that. But then again, her daddy made her like that. Venus and Serena Williams, same thing. Venus has some franchises, by the way, for those of you who didn't know. She's got franchises like that Jumanji Juice or whatever that stuff is. Like Jumanji Juice or something. She's got like some franchises. She's not dumb and she ain't scared of you. You're not going to negotiate her out of her money. If y'all would just sit down and take out a little bit of time to get educated and knowledgeable about the business you want to go in or the deal that you want to make, take just a little bit of time. All right, everybody's saying Jamba Juice. All right, fine, Jamba Juice. The J Juice people, not Jungle Juice. You know which one I'm talking about. Anyway, if you all would just invest a little bit of time into learning, you'd be there. You'd be there. But folk routinely mess y'all over because you don't want to develop, you don't want to invest the time or the effort. Now let y'all get at a shoe store or a dance club, fearless. knowledgeable and fearless about something that ain't gonna do nothing for you.
And for you, Stephanie, as far as going into the business with someone else, I have to agree with Jason when he says do it yourself, because your vision for your business and the direction that you wanted to go in may not necessarily be that person's vision. And it's always somebody that's doing more than somebody else. So you can open a business by yourself. You just need a great support team around you. And you can't be afraid to ask the questions from people that you respect that are in your prospective business. And you can do it, but you absolutely have to know what you're doing, what you're trying to do, if you want longevity, and get that support system. Do that research. Even work in that field for a minute and see what's going on. Because it's a difference when you, like, there was an owner of a beauty salon. They were sheriffs, so they had no business of customer service. And because they didn't have the knowledge of customer service, their business, you know, failed. Because they just thought, I open up this shop, I get these stylists in here, and they go to work and they give me this money on Saturday. But they were treating the clients rude. They were treating their people rude. So you have to know the concept of what's going on, and I think that's what people feel. They just think, like Jason says, I got this money, I open this business, and as soon as I say open, you know, the people are going to come in. And that's not true. You have to be knowledgeable about what you're doing, because somebody sits in my chair, they pick out this hairstyle, and I'm like, I never did this before. But I have so much confidence in myself, and I talk my way into it that eventually, you know, they feel me on their head with confidence. If they don't feel me on their head with confidence, they're not going to come back to me. I can't be lumbering around, you know. So I have to have that confidence to get that person to come back and patronize me as a business person. And my business card is that hairstyle. So I have to give that 100% to each and every client. And that's why you have to know your business and what it entails and who's doing it wrong and how you can do it righter or better. I'm sorry, righter, that's not a word. How you can do it better. The business that you want to open, go to those businesses, see how they operate, and see where you can do it better. See what they're doing wrong. How can I improve this and make my business competitive to theirs?
Business ownership and entrepreneurship is really more of an art than it is a science. But you're only going to learn to be a better artist by doing. So that's why I said proof of concept. When I said don't get involved in anything you don't know, that's what I'm going to say. You may have to work in the business. Don't get involved trying to negotiate a business that you know zero about. That's like being a doctor trying to do brain surgery and you know zero about brains, but you know everything about feet. No wonder you're worried about it. You're not ready to go into this. So get you some knowledge about this stuff, and you'll see the fear go away. We're only afraid of things we don't understand. That's the only things in this world we're afraid of are things we don't understand. Once you understand it, fear and knowledge cannot coexist. Fear and understanding do not coexist. Only fear and ignorance coexist. And remember what I said they keep beating y'all up over. Fear and lack of knowledge. They both feed into each other. So does knowledge and success. They feed into each other, too. Blog Talk's getting ready to chop y'all here, so I'll let you get your last words in.
I just want to say one more thing. Jason is absolutely correct when he says, these are not my friends. These people that patronize your business, that's your income. You don't want to be rude to them, but you don't want to be a chatterbox. You know, you want to get them in and out as quickly as possible because you're trying to make money all day long. Black first.
Stephanie.
Well, all I have to say is thank you so much, and Black first.
Definitely call us in earlier next time, because all we had earlier were Negroes talking about they worked for Mix-a-Lot. And Mix-a-Lot and Cartoon Network. Well, that's not... Was that Cartoon Network for South Park? No, that's Comedy Central, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we got going on. Brothers and sisters, tonight's broadcast has been brought to you by the letters T, B, and A. And black men, you got a course tonight in what black male leadership is supposed to be. And if you're tired of being buffooned on TV, if you are tired of humiliation of seeing your women, who are the feminine representation of you, being abused in your place or sometimes just you directly, that's where leadership comes in. And that's where we're supposed to be. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember that black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.